It's time for Ask the Tech Guys. I'm Leo Laporte. Coming up, I'm going to show you how I can break into Twit using this simple device.
And I'm Micah Sargent, and we are going to talk to a dog walker who wants to send videos of the dog walks to their clients.
Plus a visit with photographer Chris Marquardt, and we debut our brand new phone number. Ask the Tech Guys is next.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Ask the Tech Guys with Micah Sargent and Leo Laporte, episode 1975 for Sunday, May 21st, 2023. I'm just playing Snake. Ask the Tech Guys is brought to you by Miro. Miro is your team's online workspace to connect, collaborate, and create together. Tap into a way to map processes, systems, and plans with a whole team. Get your first three boards for free to start creating your best work yet at Miro.com/podcast. And by Brooklinen. Brooklinen's bundles will help you save time and money, whether you're outfitting a bedroom, bathroom, or both. For a limited time, go to Brooklinen.com and get $20 off, plus free shipping on orders of $100, plus with the code TECHGUY. And by Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/ATG. And by FastMail. Reclaim your privacy, boost productivity, and make email yours with FastMail. Try it now free for 30 days at fastmail.com/twit. Well, hey, how are you today? It's time for Ask the Tech Guys. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Micah Sargent.
And we have a jam-packed show for you today.
We do. And a phone number.
And a phone number. That's probably the biggest news, isn't it? It's the phone number is 1-Tug-72 Ha-Tug. 1-Tug. That's what it spells, but that's not useful. Or is it?
Who knows?
That's a good mnemonic.
You can also call 888-724-2884.
Or 1-Tug-72 Ha-Tug. And that number it's a little complicated because that number will put you in a thing. And then our producer, John Ashley, you'll hear my voice saying, hey, we're going to move you. And then we move you to clear the line so we have more people can call in than just one. We'll move you in and there's into the Zoom call. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything. You'll still be on the phone. You'll hear us. And right when you hear us say, hey, welcome, what's your name or whatever, then you'll have to press *6 to unmute.
Correct.
Yes. So remember that *6 to unmute if you call 1-Tug-72 Hot Tug. *6 to unmute. This is getting more and more complicated by the minute.
I think the biggest thing to understand is that you will be taken care of most of the way. The only thing you will need to do on your end is that *6 when it comes time to talk. So worry not. They'll push all the other buttons for you. It's just that *6.
And I thought radio was complicated. Oh, my goodness. We also have coming up in a little bit, about 2 hours, we're going to get Mr. Chris Marquardt, photo guy, with a brand new assignment and an assignment review. Rod Pyle is on a train, so he can't join us as he would normally.
A space train? Or a
space train.
Okay.
And I'm going to show you. It was a Kickstarter. They called it a multi-tool for hackers. A multi-tool for hackers. Now they bill it a multi-tool for nerds. It's called the Flipper Zero, and I've been playing with it, and it is so much fun. So we'll show you a little bit what we could do with the Flipper Zero.
I'll hack Micah's
card key or something like that. What else? Oh, news. I mentioned radio. Have we mentioned on the show that there is a movement by most of the car manufacturers to eliminate AM radios from your cars? The EVs have done it earlier, just because they say the noise from the electric motor is bad for the AM. You know, AM doesn't have an outside antenna like FM does. AM has a little coil. Copper coil. Is that right, Burke? You probably know all about this. Little copper coil. And it's internal and it's more effective because of the frequency. It's more effective.
I remember someone telling me they used the car's frame to do that.
They may actually. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Anyway, Ford announced it first, then a number of other manufacturers announced it. Now there's a movement afoot in Congress to save AM radio, probably, I would guess, bill sponsored by the AM radio stations of America. But there's good reason. There are places you go in this country where you can't get cell signal. Mm-hmm. So there's emergency reasons you might want an AM radio. If there's a twister coming, you might want to have your AM radio on so you can hear it, emergencies, things like that.
Yeah, in fact, I remember reading something ages ago about how there was the ability to access radio from the iPhone, and that they had sort of included that because it was a requirement for those emergency reasons.
Right. Many phones have an AM radio in them. Actually, it's an FM,
I think.
And you use the, see, here's the problem. You use the headphone jack. And the headphones as an antenna.
Oh,
that ain't going to work on some of the modern phones. Apple dropped that capability out, although it is thought that the hardware may still be in there. There was a big investigation. I don't remember what the upshot of that was. Anyway, we'll talk about it. Hey, look, we got something new.
What's that?
We got a mailbox for our emails. Let's see if there's anything in there right now. Oh, look. There is.
Wow.
Oh, my sweatshirt came. Oh, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting.
Look, the mailbox really wants to be part of the show. It's totally understandable.
This is something I ordered. It's a little less timely now than it was. I got this at a fun run.
Oh, my God.
The SVB Silicon Valley Bank run of 2023.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great?
Oh,
isn't that
wow.
Hysterical? You may remember it wasn't exactly a fun run.
No, there was no fun involved, was there?
It wasn't that fun. One other piece of business before we get to our first phone calls. I think we have some phone calls. Neva is shutting down. Now, you don't know Neva, probably.
I know Neva. I tried it a little bit. I went back to what I was using before, but I know Neva matters a lot to you.
It matters to me. So I was looking for a way to do searches without giving Google all that information. Mm-hmm. I wanted something that worked well. Neva is $5 a month, started by one of the lead ad guys who left Google. It started about 5 years ago, $5 a month. I'm not sure where they got their search results from, but it's de-Googled. I think it's mostly Bing. And then one of the things they did early on, and you can see it here, is they added AI search results that I thought were quite good. I did a search for Ask the Tech Guys. And look, it even, you know, this isn't your typical AI where it doesn't know modern times. They know about you and me doing Ask the Tech Guys.
And they have little links to where they got the information.
Yeah, I really appreciate the footnotes here, see? So, it does think the Tech Guys show is still on, which it's not. So, well, it is, but just not with me. It's, you know, Rich DeMuro now. So anyway, Neva apparently did not get enough attention. I tried.
You did?
I tried.
You told a lot of people about
it. And they are shutting down June 2nd. They will refund people's money.
They blame it on a changing search landscape.
Well, it's just hard to start a new search engine, which is disappointing to me. I think that's one of the things I would like to see. But Google's got a moat, even though they put out that memo that says we don't have a moat. Oh, they have a moat. Oh, they have a moat. And it's pretty hard to compete. So it's going to end up being Google and Microsoft with their Bing search engine. Brave, which is, you know, that de-Googled Chrome browser, and it has very privacy-forward extensions built in, say they have their own search, and they say they're doing it all themselves now. They used to contract with Bing. I think Bing now might be charging them more. They weren't able to get enough subscribers, Neva, and so they're shutting down. So I'm sorry if I moved you over to Neva with my praises, but it's over. And it is too bad. I think we need more competition.
Do you consider DuckDuckGo as competition to Bing and Google?
Yeah, although it is mostly I think they use Bing, and I think they de-Google. StartPage does this too. Most of the search engines, this is the problem. It's so hard to make a big search engine index, and it takes so long. Most of the search engines don't do their own. That's why Brave would be interesting. We'll watch what happens.
Interesting.
With Brave. Now, we could talk about that. We could talk about AM radio. We could answer your questions. Again, the number, 1-TUG-72-HOT-TUG.
Or 888-724-2884.
It actually does spell 888-8887-24-HUT. No, ATTG, We couldn't get anything really good except one tug, 72 hot tug.
Whoever was the person who said that in the chat, you are in trouble because now Leo is
coming. I'm never going to stop. And that person knows perfectly well
what they've done.
Now,
good luck with the number.
I don't have John any control.
Uh-oh.
As you've known for years. So I am out of control. So I'm just going to let, should I let John Ashley do the walking?
Do this walking, do this talking.
Let John Ashley do the walking in the yellow. Oh, there it is.
Oh, suddenly you see.
Shall I start?
Let's do it.
Our first call of the day, Michael Price. Sorry, Michael, I didn't say your last name right, but I'm not going to say it anyway.
Michael Hotug.
Michael Haha.
Hello.
Come on down. Hello, Michael. Where are you calling from?
Muted. I cannot hear you at all.
Uh-oh. We can hear you.
We.
There we go. There we go.
Oh, sorry.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Michael. Welcome. Where are you calling from?
Long Beach, California.
Beautiful Long Beach. Home of the Queen Mary.
Yes. Once we thought was going to sink Queen Mary, but apparently they're going to put some money
back. Are they going to fix it? Yeah, because it was rusting out and it was about to sink.
That's
it. Yeah. What's going on in your world, Michael?
So I have a Bluetooth ghost in the machine question for you two lads.
Ooh.
So I have a pair of Edifier powered bookshelf speakers in my home office.
I have those too, as a matter of fact, at home. Yeah.
Yeah. And normally what I do, I use them with probably a second gen Echo Dot, back when it looked like a hockey puck. So it's line out from there and then RCA jacks into the speaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can switch between the two modes. You press and hold the volume button and green light for line in. Press it again. Blue light for Bluetooth. And I occasionally use it from my MacBook for kind of some of the more esoteric, you know, pieces of music that I have that are not on Spotify or whatever.
Yeah.
And Super Bowl Sunday, I remember this is when it happened. I had watched the game in my living room, totally unrelated to these speakers. And I'm sitting at my office afterwards. And all of a sudden, I hear this cheering and announcers, and I hear the Star Spangled Banner playing on my speakers. I'm like, wait a minute. It was like, he was great. I don't know the guy, but he was fantastic. And I was like, you know, Echo, stop, stop. And it kept going, and I had to like pull it out. The call's coming from inside the house.
Right,
I pulled all the plugs. And then maybe about a week later, I get these, and it's been happening since then. These intermittent kind of like garblings of sound from these speakers. And I notice it's on Bluetooth. So what I'm wondering is, did some poor fool watch the Super Bowl or because it was the replay. It was after the game.
Uh-huh. And you weren't watching that in the living room.
No, not. I was in the living room, totally unrelated to these speakers.
So somehow it must be your neighbor.
Somebody maybe saw Edifier must be my speakers.
Yeah.
And they connected to the, because it's not a smart system.
No.
So to speak. You know what I mean?
We could see that.
Oh, so just, yeah. It's just, that's why normally pair can pair.
Yeah. Normally with pairing, says, what's the six digit?
You know,
code?
My neighbors are, it's about on either side, it's about like a driveway's width. It's kind of close, compact.
Yeah, they'd see it.
In
yeah.
This area.
Yeah.
So, I just don't know. Do I knock on their door?
Stop it.
I think Edifier probably has an inbuilt Bluetooth factory reset.
Yeah, let me show you, because I have these speakers. Do you have the remote for these speakers too,
I think I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
So yeah. I guess without getting up, if you took the remote with you, you could turn them off. But I bought these for Lisa because I thought, well, this will do everything. If you look at the back of it, it will do everything. It has Bluetooth.
PC in, line in.
Yeah, you can connect anything to it. And I think that makes it a little bit more complex, which is kind of a disadvantage. I guess they're probably not securing the Bluetooth as they should.
Well,
they're letting anybody who sees it broadcast to it.
The thing I've noticed, though, is so I might be in line in mode, so I know there's a green light.
Yeah.
But if I send something from my MacBook and connect it, it switches automatically to Bluetooth mode.
Wow.
And it may be that it hangs in Bluetooth mode after that.
Yeah.
So
And you want it to do that. You don't want to have to manually switch it back to line mode every time you're done.
Yeah. But it's all of us, I'll be in another room, I'll hear
that's awful.
Does it stop or do you have to stop it?
it's gotten to the point it stopped, and maybe it's been about a week or two. So maybe somebody realized.
I think the neighbors caught on. I think you're exactly right. And this is a huge flaw in Bluetooth. In fact, I name my Bluetooth devices. Now, you know, when you first get a phone, it'll say, you know, Leo's 16th iPhone or whatever. I always name them with a code name because I don't want people to know what they're seeing on the Bluetooth. But if you, you know, this came up. I have a Bluetooth bicycle helmet. And
it came, only you would have that.
Did it have headphones in it or something?
Yeah, it's Lival, LIVALL. They're great. But anyway, and in fact, it has a turn signal that's Bluetooth that I can put on my.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Anyway, when I was driving down the street, I wanted a pair to it, and I opened up my phone, and you see hundreds of Bluetooth signals everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Bluetooth is constantly broadcasting like this. It's crazy. And it's, you know, it's not insecure, except that if somebody like Edifier makes a speaker that doesn't do a pairing, mm-hmm. then anybody who can see your Edifier speakers, if they're out on the street or whatever, or your neighbors, can send something to it.
Yeah.
That's a flaw. Is there a way to fix it? Obviously, that's
because there should be two different. There should be a pairing mode. And then there should be the Bluetooth is on, and but it's not
like
trying
a smart
to pair.
Speaker will have a pairing mode. Like my Echo will have a pairing mode. Right. Like Google Home will have a, hey, go into this mode.
Edifier clearly didn't. First thing I do is look to see if there's a firmware update. Yeah. There might be, because they might have realized, hey, this is a terrible solution.
It's bizarre. And it's so bizarre because it happened on Super Bowl Sunday. And again,
right. And they were watching the replay, which is hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and I think they caught on, by the way, they caught on because they, you know, they'd stopped, which meant why don't I, you know, you could see your neighbor banging his head against the wall saying, why don't I hear the audio?
You might
want to hear the audio.
I'm still trying to watch the Super Bowl in February.
Turn the volume up really high on the speaker the next time it happens. Then they'll hear it coming through the wall and go, oh, my gosh, those aren't my speakers.
This is Edifier's neighbor introduction program. It's a way to meet your neighbors. The easiest thing to do would be just. As a favor to them, go over and say, hey, every once in a while, I hear your audio on my speaker. Of course, you don't know which neighbor it is, but I think I might hear your audio on my speaker. I just want to let
you
know.
They're not watching things from their computer, if you know what I mean.
No, can you imagine?
Just imagine what could happen. Yeah, and this is why it's a prankable thing as well.
Yeah.
The old cable remote to turn off your neighbor's TV.
I would look and see in the there is no software interface. There's no Edifier app, as I remember.
These are older. These are probably from like 2000.
Yeah, I don't think mine have an app because those are pretty new.
I think it was solved, but
yeah.
Curious.
No, it's a great.
So I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy, and it's in fact possible in a lot of circumstances that somebody could see a Bluetooth speaker, and if those Bluetooth speakers don't have protection. Send sound to it. It is exactly why I rename all Bluetooth devices I can. I don't think you can with the Edifier. Yeah. And if somebody knows the name Edifier, they see it. They say, oh, it's an there's well, speakers.
You can rename it on the device it's going to, I believe, like within your phone.
Yeah, it just doesn't change it on the other end. It's
you can't
just,
change it from the root is the point.
The local device recognizes.
I wonder, though, if you change it locally, if it will.
Well,
you can change your phone's name, I know.
No, so it's looking at the MAC address of the Bluetooth radio, and then it matches it.
Renames it.
Yeah. But it's my understanding that doesn't change
it. That doesn't change it.
Because if I pull out an Android phone, because I've done this before with something that didn't, and the Android phone still shows the original name. Yeah. Unfortunately, and we're seeing too, because I looked into Edifier's own support, and they talk about resetting the Bluetooth chip for the sake of trying to get it to repair again. But everything says... To pair, you just go to that Bluetooth setting. So there's no turn on pairing option.
Yeah. Come on, I got a listening party going.
It's because they were cheap, I think, and didn't want to do an app or didn't want to do more. Yeah. They're good speakers, and I love all the connectivity that they offer, which is kind of cool.
What you might do is instead of doing Bluetooth through the Edifier, why not use the Echo's built-in Bluetooth? And then do
well. I do. It's just it's from my Mac. I can't do it.
Oh, normally, from the Mac.
Again, I'll use it for play LAist. It's now called LAist. Mm-hmm. Or play Spotify, or I'll send something from my phone or tablet or computer via Spotify to like those speakers. Mm-hmm. So again, it's only when I'm playing. If I only use Bluetooth, if there's music on my own collection on my Mac.
Got it.
That's kind of that I know is not going to be on Spotify, which is so it's like. 2% of the time. I mean, I'm not going to die. It's just I wanted to make sure I wasn't going nuts.
In theory, you know, once you pair, this is a feature of the Edifier as it compared to multiple devices, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of devices, once you pair it, it's only going to speak to that device.
That's a good point.
This is a feature.
They wanted to make it so that you could do it with a lot.
This is a feature. So you can have everything speaking to the, it's not a good feature. Do you listen to LAS? That's interesting. I've been reading about LAS. It's a local.
Oh, yeah.
It's local.
LA's NPR.
Yeah. Station.
Larry Mantle on Air Talk. I was in New York for many years, and we had our own local NPR person there, or whatever, WNYC.
Yeah.
Oh, Larry Mantle is the best. Heads and tails above this other guy.
This is KPCC.
Yeah.
But what's cool is the reason I'm interested in it is this might be the future of local news because, you know, we're having a problem in this world where you don't have local newspapers anymore. You don't have, you know, all those radio stations are using syndicated content. This is the problem with AM.
Yeah.
You know, and this is one solution, I think, that's very interesting.
Well, I think they bought NYC bought up Gothamist.
Yep.
It's that network of kind of public radio-ish
local. But it's a website. Yeah. So you can listen.
And they've merged them in together. So.
Yeah. I think
well, listen,
really
I don't want to take too much time.
Hey, great to talk to you. Yeah, thank you, Mike.
And I do want to say one thing for Micah. I was listening to the pre-show and Leo, at one point you said, you know, Micah laid down the bass and I thought I heard a little chameleon. Boom, 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 boom. Herbie Hancock.
Are you a musician, sir?
I am, sir. Yeah. Opera singer and et cetera.
I think we've talked before and you have an excellent, microphone. Before. Hey, it's great to talk to you,
gentlemen.
Yeah. Take care.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Opera singer.
Have a great show.
Opera singer. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know any operas that have a bass line like that.
Yeah, no, sadly.
Before we go to our next call, I want to mention our fine sponsor because we love our sponsors. They keep us alive. And this is something you and I have worked a little bit with, which is Miro.
Yeah.
We've set up a Miro board for the show. Miro is hard to describe. I told him when we talked to him, I said, this is going to be hard because it is whatever you need it to be.
Yeah.
But here's the problem Miro solves. You've got a team. Work like me and Micah and John Ashley, our producer, where you got people working on a project together, whether it's a product that you want to launch, you know, a company you're running. And nowadays, people are all over. They may be in different time zones. Some may be in the office. Some may be at home. You have also the problem that not everybody is there at the same time. How do you, and you may be using multiple different apps, right? You know, Google Docs and Zoom, and we use Zapier. And so all of these different tools, it's very hard to keep people on the same page. That's what Miro is. It's keeping people on the same page. It's a central source of truth. Anybody can use it any time. You can all use it at the same time for brainstorming, for product design, or you can use it if you're in different time zones asynchronously. But there's always one place everybody can go, no matter where they are, to work together. This is a visual collaboration tool packed with features for the whole team so you can build on each other's ideas. You can build the future. You can shorten time to launch. Your customers get what they need faster. Your customers can even join in on the Miro board, right? So they can participate. And the best way to find out what Miro can do is to go to Miro.com/podcast. You get your first three boards for free, free forever, okay? So you can start playing with it right now. I hate to even use the word play. I mean, it is fun.
Yeah, I
but
agree.
It's work too, right? It's getting work done in a fun, effective way. And when you're at Miro.com/podcast, click the Miroverse link on the left because that'll give you an idea of how people use it. Dozens of templates created by real Miro users in every possible arena. It's fantastic. You can view and share the big picture overview by zooming out. You can see the details by zooming in. And, you know, when everyone on a team has a voice and everyone has a single source of truth, the team stays engaged, they're invested, they're happy, they're having fun, but they're being productive as well. It's great for meetings. You've got a timer built in. You've got icebreakers. Never again will I meet with Zoom without having Miro running. You can map out processes and roles and timelines. They've got a swim lane diagram. They've got Kanban. They got everything you need to work productively, no matter how you work. Miro users say they save about 80 hours per user per year. That's a whole 2-week vacation per year just from streamlining the conversations and feedbacks. It makes meetings fun. No wonder more than 1 million people use Miro every month. 1 million active users every month. Get your first 3 boards for free. Start working better together. Miro.com/podcast. M-I-R-O. Miro.com/podcast. We thank them so much for supporting Ask the Tech Guys. Not only supporting us with the ad, but
actually supporting us with the great Miro board.
Yeah. Another call. What are you in the mood for?
I'm in the mood for any call.
Gary calling from just down the road. Hi, Gary. Come on down. Did I press the right button? Did I bring him in? I think. Oh, everything's gonna whooshed and magic. And now Gary is it's blinking off and on and.
I was thinking about
weird
it.
Stuff. I brought him in. Do you see it, John? Yeah, he's there. Okay, Gary, I think you're in. Turn on your camera if you want. You don't have to, but talk to us.
Yeah, still saying connecting to audio. So,
oh, it takes a while to connect to audio. I don't understand how technology works. Did I tell you that? Could you be my tech guy? Yeah. Well, Gary, I tell you what.
We might have to come back to you.
Well, I have to come back to you,
Gary. Is there a second Gary? Because I saw someone else wave whenever you said Gary.
I saw Dog Walker wave.
That's, yes.
Dog Walker, maybe that's his nickname. I don't know. Gary, I'm going to move you back out into the other room, and we'll pick up Dog Walker 42, because that's the answer to...
the answer to a dog's life.
Life, the world, the universe, and everything.
And the dog's everything.
And everything. Hello, Dog Walker. Hi.
Hey, Leo and Micah. How are you?
We're great. Well. Where are you How calling are you? From?
I'm calling from St. Paul, Minnesota, but beautiful. I used to listen to you out... back in the day on the radio out in L.A.
Oh, we're so glad we could get you on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm starting my first business, dog walking business, one-man business.
Nice.
It's been really exciting. It wasn't even a gleam in my eye on April 24th. And then, the ideas started to flow, inspiration, and I've gotten so much done in the past 3 or so weeks.
I think I saw an email from you. Are you looking for a way to get, like, send your customers video of their dogs going for a walk?
Yeah, I got the body camera on Friday.
And, nice.
In the mail. Yeah, it's pretty nifty. It's a little Bovlov A22. And I had the first idea for giving them a USB stick. I thought it would be tangible and more convenient for them. And then... I was in the chat room and someone suggested I just do like a YouTube link.
That's a great idea. Does the Bob Loves stream? How does it? What is it? What is
I don't
it?
Know. I don't want to do streaming.
You want to do it after the fact. So you're recording.
Yeah.
Locally.
I'm not going to edit it. Yeah. I want them to have the full thing. You know, that's kind of my
Fluffy,
idea.
Here's Fluffy's walk. Today.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A great
right.
idea.
And a lot of people assume that it was for, you know, like safety, like for getting blamed for something. It was like, no, I'm like really good with dogs. And I think, the clients will appreciate that having it and be able to see it.
Yeah. And if you're a dog walker, you got to, give people some, like, why choose you? Right.
Right. Right.
So and I like, think I, that's a really yeah, nice thing, smart. You know, see a video of your dog's walk. Every day afterwards. I love that idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. And I can get pretty animated. I mean, I just love being with dogs.
Do you one dog at a time or do you do multiple dogs?
I haven't opened my doors yet. I'm getting it all set up. I have zero clients right now.
Yeah.
So,
where's your website? You know. Do you have the dogwalker42.com site yet?
No. Well, my name is Trent and the website is carrottopdogwalker.com.
See?
That's so
you're,
good.
Look, you're a marketing genius. You've already branded yourself. He's a redhead if you're not watching.
Right.
You're a ginger. Carrottopdogwalker.com. No one's ever going to forget that, right?
Right. And I came up with the logo. One of the first ideas I had was the logo, and I sketched it out. I'm getting my car wrapped with it. If you look closely on the logo, I kind of hid the initials CTDW in the logo.
Yeah. Carrot Top Dog.
I went really sleek and, sleek and simple with the website and the pricing and everything. A lot of dog walking websites I can see are kind of corny and they have all these puns. And so I just went, as simple as I could I said the premium choice kind of went that route.
This is fantastic. What did you do in a prior life, Trent?
I was a waiter for 16 years and I was horrible at it and I hated it. And some people are good at it and they're great at it. More power to them, but I was just torturing myself for 16 years.
I love this. So you decided to follow your dream.
And like I said, this wasn't even really a dream. I just know I love dogs.
You're following your bliss. You're following your bliss. Yeah.
And I was on the treadmill. I had this really good founders membership at Lifetime Fitness that my I was considering signing over to my brother because he actually goes. I was giving
it 1 more week. This is the secret of gym memberships. They love you don't go. That's the key, right?
But I'm on that treadmill and it just felt like torture. And I went home one day thinking like, how can I could exercise, and make money while doing it.
This is brilliant. Eventually you're going to have multiple dogs.
I don't have any upcharges for, I don't want to do more than like three at a time. And
Bob Lev is a good choice. It is 180 degrees. So you can see, if you had 20 dogs, you'd be able to see them all. I think this is really a cool little product and it records it to a little micro SD card. Mm-hmm. So you could easily take that off when you get back, a little TF card and plug it into your computer and upload it to YouTube. Yeah. It could be a private channel because if you don't make it a public channel, you can actually do with YouTube. You can make it a public channel, but don't publicize the URL.
So, yeah, just unlist the video.
I did some experimenting with the unlisted, and I don't even have a computer. Scooter X was kind of giving me some guff in the chat room for that.
What are you on right now? You're on your phone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is a simple prepaid like T-Mobile Revel 6.
Yeah, we don't want to now fine. With dog walking. You want to keep the overhead down.
Yes, exactly. So you don't want to the USB card idea is that you're going to end up spending so much money.
Yeah. Let's keep the overhead simple. Yeah. But you have
to. I thought I was going for convenience, but then I thought it's just the YouTube is already more convenient and it's ready made for sharing. And I thought, I could actually see now after thinking about it, I could be handing these people a USB stick and they'd be saying like, well, how do I use
this? Yeah. Nobody wants a USB stick. Yeah. Exactly. Not to mention the cost to you.
And I like the idea of, that you're not having to wait for the USB stick. As soon as you're ready to upload that video, you can send that to them. They might be on their lunch break at work and they go, oh, I get to see my dog. You know what I mean? So it's better.
You have two dogs. Would you want to see their poop?
I would just maybe fast forward through that. What I would love is if I was on vacation or something like that, to get a video that shows me how my dog is doing, that's great.
Would be awesome.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning of something that's going to get bigger and bigger, I think.
I agree.
But
thank you.
Yeah, eventually you're going to hire people and you're going to have a whole, team of dog walkers. And I like your marketing is good. The website is good. And I like this special sauce you're adding of a video of the dog walking, but you got to get a computer. I'm sorry to say, I don't think the prepaid phone is going to work for this.
I already tested it out. It uploaded to, I popped the USB and the micro SD into my phone and I turned on Google Files and it was right there on top. And I just long pressed and pressed share.
I'm wrong.
Well, okay. I'll be.
But I was wondering, I did buy micro USB.
Right.
I was wondering, even so I don't have to pry out the SD card every time, and it's not a big deal. It's probably I only have to do it once a day. But I was wondering if I could get it from here to the phone with a micro USB to a USB-C.
It depends on the phone.
I don't know if you have any input on that.
It depends on the phone. This is something called USB to go, Many phones have this capability. I don't know if the phone you're using does. But yeah, and you may need a special USB to go cable that will go from your phone's type C connector to whatever is on the Bob Love. I love the name.
The micro SD. Mini USB or whatever. Yeah.
But you gotta, it has to be a to go. The reason is the phone normally is the source, the sink, it's the can't use master and slave anymore. The computer is the main thing.
What, primary and secondary?
Primary. Thank you. The phone is normally a secondary device. If you want it to be a primary device, you have to use USB to go.
So what I would suggest is get one of those cables. If you get it from, you know, Best Buy or Amazon or something like that, return it if it doesn't work. So then you're not out the money.
And but honestly, card readers.
You know
so
what?
Hard.
The micro SD transfer works just fine. Yeah. And like I said, I'll get done with all my appointments in the day, and I'll do it at the end of the day.
I want this to succeed. I just love this.
I think that's a great idea.
That you said I don't enjoy doing what I'm doing. I love dogs. Let me do something that I love doing. And I think that's great. Right. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yes, sir.
It was really nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Trent.
I love the new show. It's just great.
I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Good job, Micah.
Yeah, isn't he great? Aren't we thrilled with Micah? We really love him.
Yeah, he's doing great. Yeah.
Thanks.
Love it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thanks, Trent.
Dog walking.
Stay in touch.
Thank you.
Email me.
I will.
Let us know how it's working for you. That's great.
I will. Thank you so much. All right.
I gotta say hi to my buddy in Miami. Do you mind?
I don't mind.
Do you mind?
Let's see how many cups of coffee.
In a way, talking to Chris in Miami takes the place of a cup of coffee.
Yes. Who needs coffee when you've got Chris?
He gets me going, and it's a contact high.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Chris from Miami, come on down. Let's see how many cups of coffee in he is today. Hey, Chris.
Oh, we can't hear you yet.
Oh, turn unmute. Isn't that a good idea, Trent had?
I love that.
Walk the dog.
Walk the dog and
I'm unmuted.
Oh, there he is.
You are unmuted.
I am.
How many cups in?
Hey.
Hello. Five cups in?
There
Holy
I am.
Moly.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, there's nothing like seeing me. I'd rather see you guys. I don't want to see me. I see me all the time.
I see me.
It's like Micah in the mirror every day. We look so absolutely amazing. I mean, let's look at somebody else for a few minutes. Oh, where's the dogs?
So what can we do for you, Mr. Chris?
Well, I tried to get on, you know, the weekend show with
Mr. DeMuro.
You know, he really is such a nice guy. He really is. But I get in touch with Kim first, and I get in touch with Kim, and he's like, well, whatever you do, a couple of things. First thing is don't talk about coffee, because he's not Leo Laporte. Let's not talk about coffee. He doesn't do coffee.
I understand.
No coffee, right?
He's trying to keep you in check. That's all. Don't tell him you can't keep a good man down.
You can't keep a good coffee cup down, that's for sure.
Amen.
You know what we've been drinking lately? After we were in Rome, I noticed we went to some really nice restaurants and had really good coffee, and it was all Lavazza. So I ordered some Lavazza, and we've been drinking Lavazza. Lavazza. It's been quite good. But you have your own brand of coffee, don't you?
I really get my own coffee. Well, the coffee I buy comes from Panama, and then they bring it into the main headquarter out there in Springville, Utah. So it's the Panama Geisha bean coffee bean. It's one of the most expensive coffee beans in the world.
It's fresh. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Is it roasted?
And it's infrared
in Panama?
Cooked. It's not roasted.
Oh, it's
not roasted.
Yeah, it's infrared because
it's infrared cooked.
It saves you from, you've told me about this before. There's some research that suggests that the roasted coffee might have chemicals in it that ends up causing, it could be carcinogenic, correct?
Acrylamides, because you're roasting coffee beans, which is not really healthy for the body to rub. Basically, you're taking those beautiful coffee beans that people spend a lot of money on. And what they're doing is, well, Starbucks coffee. I mean, that's not real coffee. Let's be honest. I don't know what that is. But they take the coffee beans and they flame roast them. So why don't you just get one of those Elon Musk flamethrower and just basically just destroy the coffee beans completely.
I mean, you're still roasting it with infrared because it's still heat, but there's no flame, and that's the key.
There's no, and it's on the sizzle.net website. It's about what they do with the coffee.
All right,
but you don't want to go there. So I can share, but if people are not interested, then
I asked you, it's my fault. Sizzle.net.
No, there's no fault. I would like you guys to try the coffee. So.
But you, it's like,
so, go to my website.
It's like a pyramid scheme, right?
There's no pyramids, and the pyramids are in Egypt. So just going to be honest.
What's your coffee site, Chris?
But I like this one. This one's fun. This is a little heart. You see the heart? I like the heart.
I've lost it.
If you turn it upside down,
the heart. So, there you go.
It's a pyramid.
Yes.
What is your
website? Pyramid.
All right. I'm going to need another cup of coffee after talking to you, boss.
No.
Okay. So it's C as in Chris.
Uh-huh.
S as in Sierra, number 7. So CS7 dot Sissel. SISEL.net. Very easy. You found me finally, Leo, after 100 years.
This is Christopher Scourin's website, an independent Sissel distributor. All right. So this is the coffee. I might order some of this stuff. Now, can you just get plain coffee, or do you have to get it with stuff in it?
No, you order what you want. You sign up as a preferred customer.
Because I don't want an organic cleanse, personally. That makes me nervous. Yeah. The cleanse.
Where do I find the coffee?
I'm always detoxing my body. Always I just got off of a super detox,
Always be detoxing.
ABD.
I just detoxed out of my nose.
Detoxing and you're
right there. Like,
woo! Let's see.
Chris, what is your question? Now you've got your plug. What's your question?
Well, okay. I appreciate the plug. Thank you very much.
You're very
My question is about the... let me get my iPhone. Hang on for 1 second because the information's in there.
He's not ready. He did not expect us to say hello to you. You were just
Is like I said, I know I'm on probably more than anybody on the planet.
Yeah. That's why we spread you
and
out now.
I have been
once a month. But I like my coffee hit. But once a month, I want a coffee hit.
I talked to someone the other day about that real quick, and I said, you know what? He said, what's your relationship with Leo Laporte anyways? And I said, well, you know what? Is it going around Miami now?
Like, people are asking all over Miami, what's your relationship? What is it
because
with you
I'm
and
always,
Leo?
Wait a minute. I'm always plugging Twit anyways.
Thank you, Chris.
This is the place to be. Look at Micah Sargent and Rosemary Orchard. I do it because I have a love and a passion for it. I'm not one of those people. I'm not going to plug you if I don't like you. And I said, you know, give me 1 second, Leo. Give me 1 second.
He's leaving. 1 second. He's leaving again.
Somebody's trying to break into his house.
Such a character. He is a character.
No.
Wait, do they
sell
it? No,
sorry about that.
That looks like they only sell it ground. I can't find it whole bean.
Oh, we have
no. You know what it is right now? The sorry about that. The instant coffee is out of stock.
Ew!
It'll be back in this week. But
instant?
I'm not drinking.
No! Don't. But read about it. Read about it before you go into a face meltdown.
I want
read about what you got going on.
Do they not sell?
We don't sell whole bean coffee. And if you read, wait a minute now. If you read why there's no whole bean coffee, you'll understand the reason why there's no whole bean coffee.
Right.
So before you jump out there in the middle of traffic and start to play Frogger, let's learn about what you have your hands on.
I don't want to learn about it. We'll do that offline.
But we'll do that another time.
I can feel people turning the dial back to Rich DeMuro saying, this is no good.
No, let's not. No, I talked to him. I called Kim this week and I said, Kim, I said, you're always welcome back at Twit. But she said to me, and this is not because I don't ever want to.
You're offering her a job on our. You're offering her a job on our behalf. Is that what
I would love her to come back? We got a phone number. Let's get her back. She'd be happier probably. And she said, "Well, Chris, Rich is kind of particular. He doesn't like to have a lot of the same people, but he doesn't like to have the Leo callers from Twit calling all the time.
I don't blame him.
Did he have a bad experience or something?
No. I don't blame him. He wants a fresh start." And that's how it should be. That's how it should be. Which means I'm stuck
with
you.
Oh, really? You're stuck with me. That's how my friend feels about Chris. I'm stuck with you. Don't worry about it.
I'm
stuck with you, Chris. You're not going anywhere. You know what? I talked to a friend of mine the other day. I said, you know what? It would be my honor and my pleasure and to actually meet Leo Laporte for the first time in my life, because I think he's absolutely one of the most spectacular real people that I've come to know over the past decade.
And that's when the guy said, what's this with you and Leo?
that's
what's going on there? What is this story?
There's not a lot of good people on the planet. I'm sorry, there's a handful of people. Chris, and then I get to meet Micah. Anyways, here's my question. Here's my question.
Yes.
Okay.
Focus.
Really simple. Yes. Rich really was a big help here. I got in touch with the Ring doorbell people. Absolutely the best customer service. They're very, very nice people.
Glad to hear that. Yeah.
So, yeah. My question with this is that I'm going to be getting the battery doorbell plus for $179. I'm going to get a couple of those little
because you're in an apartment. You can't modify
condo,
it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Condo. Yeah.
Right. So here's the problem. The way that when you look at the way the door is right now in the middle of the door above, you have the peephole and you have the knocker that can come off. And then this can go in there. But he was a little hesitant and he said, Chris, the problem is that if you put it on the side of like the frame of the door, the camera will stay focused always versus putting it on the door where most people put it because you're going to be opening and closing the door, which is what doors do.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't think that's going to be a problem, but I said, you know what? That was my question for Rich this week. I left him a message on Instagram, but he's busy doing his own thing. Is that an issue? Most people put them on the door. And he's like, well, I said, but it's a door. You open it, you close it. You open it, you close it. I said, I don't have a home and I don't want to put it on the frame outside my door. So what's the problem with putting it on the door? It's going to refocus if it's that good of a camera.
First of all,
it should refocus.
It doesn't focus at all. It doesn't focus at all. Everything is always in focus. It's a very wide angle, very narrow aperture lens. Mm-hmm. It's always in focus. So if the door moves, no big deal. You're just going to get a different picture. The picture you care about is when the door is closed, obviously, right?
Yes. If you're opening the door, then you're making that choice to open the door. I quite literally have one.
I thought it was silly, Micah, that he said that.
Mine is that one that goes on the door that looks through the peephole. And yes, it goofily will send me a notification if I open the door and say, oh, there's a person there. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because I'm standing there. But other than that, it works as it always does with the door closed because it's flat. So yeah, I don't think there's any issue with going for that, especially I like it better than the doorbell kind because I think people see it more clearly. It's right there in front of their eyes. So, you know, to push the button if they're supposed to.
And the other reason people put it on the frame, the reason I put it on the frame is because that's where the wire for the doorbell
was. Yeah, if you're using a wired.
With a battery, I think it's fine to put it where you would put a door knocker.
Yep, and the battery part is on the inside, so you don't even have to open the door.
People look at where the knocker would be, right?
Yeah.
So just go put it where the door knocker is.
What about those little devices? I think they're like $39 at Best Buy and $59 on their website, which is you just plug them into an electrical outlet. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many of these I can put around the house, but do either you or Micah use those where this way when someone rings and...
Yeah, so are you multi-floor?
This is the chime. This is the chime.
No, one floor. Just one floor. That's it.
Yeah, the chime.
So depending
on how big your space is and how insulated the walls are, you might want to get one. They also will improve.
It's pretty loud.
Yeah.
You're not going to miss it.
It's loud. Okay, well, one's good.
And if you have echoes or anything like that in your home, you can actually set them up to let you know.
Go ring the doorbell,
the doorbell has been rung.
So here is our... Wait a minute. By the way, won't work, John. It's not plugged in.
It's not plugged in, so...
But this is like that. This isn't actually from a Ring. This is Fison. But it's very loud. So the story on this is I locked myself out. I went to the bathroom and I locked myself out and I was pounding and no one could hear me.
Oh my God.
And I couldn't get back in. And I don't remember what show was it. It was Twig or something. And the chair was just empty and what happened? Leo's gone. What happened? And I finally had to go all the way around to the front where there is a doorbell and ring the doorbell. So then when they put in a doorbell for me, this is the Leo, the Leo chime. If that rings.
Wow. You have your own chime. What a
if that
deal.
Rings. Well, wouldn't anybody who would lock himself out, but I'm the only one stupid enough to lock himself out. A little later on, I'm going to show you.
Things happen.
I'm going to show you how I can clone Micah's key card and then I'll never lock myself out again. Chris, don't worry about
it. Thank you.
That camera. It doesn't focus at all. Everything's in focus.
Always.
And I think that's a perfect place to put it right there where you're knocking. Your
thanks for having me. That's always a lot of fun, guys.
Always good to chat.
Thank you.
This is your brain.
Thanks, Leo.
This is your brain on Chris. Right there. Right there. Your brain.
Stop it. No.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, my God. You two are a riot.
We woke everybody up. A pleasure.
Not such a bad deal.
Not such a bad thing. No.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
You can't resist the guy.
No.
He's a sweetheart.
He's absolutely fantastic.
He's a sweetheart. Hey, how did you get your linens yet?
Oh, my God, I did.
So let's talk about our sponsor, and then we're going to get Chris Marquardt on here. Our sponsor this hour is Brook Linen, which is a cute name, right? It's like Brooklyn, but it's linens. I got the cutest striped pajamas. Oh, my gosh. I should have worn them today.
Oh.
Maybe I'll wear them next week.
Cute.
But the thing is that I love about them, they're super soft. They feel so good. Brook Linen was created to provide you with, they say, hotel quality luxury bedding. It's better than hotel quality, but you got the hotel ones.
I did.
Yeah. So I got the classic ones. But anyway, delivered directly to your door at a fair price. Rich and Vicky founded it. They're a husband and wife. They founded it about 2014, some time ago now. It has everything you need to live your most comfortable life. I love it that it's just, it's Rich and Vicky. Because, you know, they like, it's a couple, they're going to choose nice stuff.
I know, there is something about it.
It's nice stuff. They're so cute. And they've got nice styling with the collar and all that stuff. You could wear them around in, just to the house. Brooklyn has been making a dream space reality for their customers for almost a decade now. Great choice when you're making your house a home. They have bundles, which makes it very easy, saves you time and money. Whether you're outfitting a bedroom or a bathroom or both, we got the high-end sheets. You got, because you said I sleep hot, you got the hotel quality sheets.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I got classic. There's also the luxe option.
I got the luxe.
You got luxe. Yeah, I got luxe. Classic.
You're classic.
And oh my word, they are, it's the coolest I've ever slept. And I have a bed that cools me down too. So even more than I ever was cool before, I have just felt so good.
We got the best sellers, which are the luxe sateen sheets, and they feel like butter, baby. Just a luxurious finish. I don't like scratchy. In my sheets, I like smooth, soft. If you're looking for a natural option, they have just launched, this is really cool, an organic collection, organic cottons. Check out brooklinen.com to learn about all their different styles of sheets. Find your perfect match. Wirecutter gave them number one for outstanding bedding. Good Housekeeping gave them outstanding bedding. They also have 100,000 five-star customer reviews. We have found the place to get your towels, your sheets, your jammies, whatever. One reviewer said, I seem to get that wonderful sleeping temperature very quickly and stay there throughout the night versus with my older cotton sheets. See, I didn't even know about this. You've actually learned me about this. Is it because it's a lower thread count, so it breathes?
It's how much it's woven tightly.
How tightly woven?
Yeah, so yours are more tightly woven.
Yeah. Another person, maybe it was Leo, said, best sheets in the world like butter. Maybe it was me. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. It's not me, I guess. Maybe it just both of us think it. Brooklyn uses only the highest quality materials for all their products. Long staple cotton. So everything they create is built to last. I hate that. I've bought sheets from other places like those discount stores and they fall apart in a year. I don't want that. Especially if you fall in love with your sheet. You want it to last. Check out their sheets, pillows, towels. They got bath rugs. They got totes. They got tops. They got robes and lots more. What are you waiting for? Shop in store or online at brooklinen.com to give yourself or your loved ones the rest they deserve. For a limited time, we're going to get you $20 off plus free shipping on orders of $100 or more with the code TECHGUY. Brooklinen. It's like Brooklyn, but with a linen. That doesn't help. B-R-O-O-K. That's the Brook. LINEN. That's the linen. Brooklinen.com. And don't forget that offer code tech guy. $20 off plus free shipping. Best sheets ever.
So great.
Like butter.
Like butter.
Except I got the Lux. So
you
I'm just,
got
you're
going
to, you have to choose.
Yeah.
I got more butter. More better butter. Chris isn't for an hour. I'm sorry. I know what I'm doing.
Now it's time.
Now it's time
for you to hack.
Hey, who stole my flipper?
Flipper.
So you might have seen the Kickstarter for the Flipper, which is, well, it's funny. The Kickstarter for the Flipper Zero was multi-tool device for hackers. Now at the Flipper Zero shop, they call it a multi-tool device for nerds. It is true that in some places like Brazil, they've confiscated these as hacker tools. Mm-hmm. They're, I mean, look, you can use any Arduino,
right,
any Raspberry Pi and do the same thing. This is, but let me show you. This is such a cool device. This is the Flipper. And, you know, they've made it kind of fun. So Flipper, like the Dolphin Flipper, right? In fact, there's even a snake game on here. So if Customs says, what is that? You say, oh, it's just my little game. It looks like a little game. Electronic pet toy, right?
Where pet stands for.
Multi-tool educational device. This, I would give this to a teenager, like a 13 or 14-year-old. This is for the 14-year-old in me. Who is inquisitive. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to do anything awful with it. But they are going to be able to simulate some bad things.
Surprise.
And learn how they work. It's just a USB cable. No, it's not. Here's the Flipper. Now, the first thing you're going to do when you get your Flipper, pry it out of the box.
That's the first test. Will you pass the first test and wield the Flipper?
First thing you're going to do is you're going to download for iOS or Android the Flipper software. Because the Flipper software is how you update the firmware and so forth. And it uses a Bluetooth to pair it to the device. Okay. Then the next thing you're going to do, actually, before you even download the update, is put in an SD card. You don't need a big one. 4 gigs is plenty. It's just storing a few things on there, like the firmware. So once you've done that, and by the way, every Flipper gets a cute name. Mine's Yuki Ox.
Aw.
But they're all random names. Once you've done it, now let me show you the Flipper. What it really is a device with a lot of radios. See, there's an infrared port. It's got a lot of radios, and it has a GPIO bus. So there's actually a brisk market in Flipper Zero hats. You know, like with a Raspberry Pi, you can, like this hat's called the Mayhem hat.
Oh my, what kind?
It adds
mayhem?
A camera. It adds Wi-Fi and Bluetooth support. It adds a whole bunch of extra stuff. And you just plug that. You see that plugs right into the pins on top here. But the way it comes out of the box, and I think for a kid, now it's a little pricey, $169. People have been asking me, where'd you get that? I thought you couldn't get it. No, you can get it. I just ordered it and it came like a couple of weeks later. It does have, if you look in the applications folder, it has a game. You can actually put Doom on this. I wouldn't, course. You know, but the snake game is what you use if you get some.
I'm just an innocent little.
If a Mountie comes over and says, "What is that?"
Playing snake is all.
I'm just playing snake. That's all I'm doing. But there is a lot more to this. The main idea of this is the radios. Okay, so it can emulate a Fido universal two-factor.
Okay.
It can do bad USB. It can be a button. It can be GPIO. Whoops. Oh, I shouldn't have pressed that button. Flipper crashed and was rebooted. All right. It can be an NFC. You know what? Give me your, do you have your key card to get into the?
Oh, wait. No, actually.
I have mine. I'll do mine.
Didn't bring my bag in.
I'll do mine. So it's rebooting. Let's go to the 125 kilohertz RFID. That's what a lot of these card keys use to get into buildings and stuff. This is why you don't leave your car key lying around, right? So we use it. We have a little button, but you know, it will work with anything that's using that 125 kilohertz. You can read. So I'm just going to press read. See, it's blinking and I'm going to put it right there.
Reading.
Don't move card. Reading one of two. There it goes. Now it's read that card. Okay. And I'm going to save it. Uh-huh. Okay. And now it gives it a random name. You can name it whatever you want. It's right now it says conceded portal. You know, it doesn't matter what you call it, right? It's just so that you can name it. You could name it the card to get into Twit.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's exit this menu. Should I actually go? Let me.
Can you get into Twit with
it? Yeah, watch. So my keys are gone. Uh-huh. I only have the Flipper Zero.
Okay.
Let me get up. I got to disconnect and do this. And I'll go lock myself out.
Oh, my.
I don't have to worry about the doorbell anymore.
Yeah. Keep that unplugged. If he can't get in, we're not letting him back in. So he better, Flipper better work.
They call it Flipper. All right, let me show you how this works. Okay, so let's see. First thing I got to do is go back to the 125 kilohertz RFID. And this time I'm going to look at my saved ones. Here it is. Now watch. I'm going to emulate that on this door. So don't let me in, no matter what I say. Maybe you better. It worked. Look at that. So I was able to emulate that door entry key using the Flipper Zero. You see, it's still blinking. I could get into anywhere that door entry key uses. Pretty cool, huh? All right, I'm back.
Okay. So, ooh, you did it. It worked. Yeah, that's kind of scary.
It's actually pretty easy. I'm going to do something I haven't tried before. So anyway, it has a bunch of different radios in it. Again, I think you could give this to a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to do anything that is like
a 14-year-old you trust.
Yeah, I mean, and do it with them, like as a parent, right? And say, let's play around, because 14-year-olds are curious and they want to mess with stuff. And this is a relatively benign way to do it. Now, obviously, I could use this to steal your card key, but guys, this isn't exactly the most subtle.
Could I change it away from sports at a bar?
Yes. So that's why it has this. It has infrared, so you could change the TV. It has NFC, which is a form of RFID, so you could read NFC cards. You could actually hold it up to. Well, I could do this with a credit card. Let me see here. Hold up to a credit card and read some of the card information. Mm. Not sufficient. Probably not sufficient to steal that credit card. Show the card number.
Yeah,
here, but I'll. But camera. I will read the credit card here. Put it over the chip, and I'm going to read it.
And I'm wondering, RFID cards in passports or not?
No, NFC, those are okay. So this is important. Those are encrypted. Okay. That's actually a great question, because it does have RFID in it, but those are encrypted. And so Flipper can read it, but it'll get an encrypted result.
Got it.
Which is basically useless. You need to have the key. So you can't look at. There are hacker tools out there, plenty of them, that will do all of this better. Let's put it that way. But this is a great way for a kid or an adult to learn about some of the things. You could use it for pen testing. People have used it to change the price on gas station. But it doesn't change it on the pump. It just changes it on the sign.
Oh.
Because the sign is like a TV. It's like remote control.
Okay,
The guy behind the counter goes, I'm going to increase the price. So if it's an electronic sign, you can, in some cases, use it to change the price. Little things, little pranks. So it's got infrared, GPI. Now, let's try this bad USB. This is actually a good lesson.
Oh, God. Where is he going to plug it in?
This is a good lesson. So normally with bad USB, we've talked about this before with bad USB. You would put this on a USB key and then leave it, they call it a candy drop in the parking lot. Somebody would find it, oh, look, I got a free USB key, and plug it in. And the way bad USB works, by the way, can't be wiped even by erasing the USB key, is it acts like a keyboard. And as soon as you plug it in the computer, it activates. So let me just you could put stuff on here. I wouldn't want to put a payload. So I'm going to just do the demo for Windows.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Now it says connect to USB. You see, it's not very stealth.
Right. In this form, it's not stealth.
This is, I think, almost educational. I think a high school teacher should get this. So let me plug this in. Now, this is why you don't, kids, plug in
random
USB keys. Yeah. So I plugged it in. Let's see. Okay. Now I'm going to run. And now it's uploading. And look at watch my screen.
Oh, wow. It's doing stuff.
It's doing stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
this
terrifying.
Is just by plugging in.
Now it's like moving the page.
Yeah. So obviously the payload could be benign like this. Or it could be. Look at that.
Did it just like download a file?
Join Hackster. Yeah, it just opened this page. So it could obviously do other things, like put a malicious payload in there. This is why you don't do USB keys you found lying around. So that we did a demo, and you'll see actually if I unplug it, you'll see it said it did 100. Well, I guess it's cleared it, but it's 100%. It loaded of this demo. Uh-huh. Do the same thing on a Mac. You know, I maybe I'll put Doom on it for the next show. I didn't really want to spend all that energy, but you can play Doom on it.
Have you tried using it with a fob for a vehicle?
Okay. I was about to. One of the things I was going to demo is me stealing my own car.
Okay.
And then Russell, our IT guy, said, whatever you do, do not do that. So the reason is most of the time on a modern, on older cars, this would work, right? Uh-huh. In fact, I tried to steal your car, but you wouldn't let me. So on older cars, this would work. But on my more modern car, they do rolling codes. And if they sense that somebody is feeding back, it's doing what they call a replay attack, feeding back an old rolling code, they deactivate the fob.
Got it.
They deactivate the whole thing. It's shut down. You got to take it to the dealer.
So it'll be a whole deal.
And a new fob is a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
So I didn't, I mean, maybe I could, but I didn't want to take a chance. Yeah. Russell said, you know, maybe think twice.
Yeah.
I'll just take it as read that you could do this. It does do rolling codes. So for instance, garage door openers, which use rolling codes, and there are more, and this is the point. You can go right now to a website and download for buy a rubber ducky, which is a USB key with bad USB on it. Mm-hmm. You can buy devices that will do all those rolling codes. You can buy all sorts of stuff. You remember the stories about Kia and Hyundai being so easy to steal. This stuff is easily found on many, many sites and can be sold legally. It's illegal to use it to hack, but the devices are electronic devices that be sold legally. This is sold legally. But what I think is an educational device. I think this is a very good way for somebody who's curious about what things, because this is, look, this is doesn't, you know, I'm not going to carry this around and try to break into
right,
stuff.
Right.
I'm certainly not going to do it with a, you know, one of those mayhem hats on there. It's very obviously
something's
going
have?
On. That's not cool, man. But, you know, for instance, I could go to a hotel. More modern hotel card keys aren't prone to this. But the next time I'm at a hotel, I'm going to try this because I think you can also get into somebody's hotel room with mm-hmm. that. That's now right. That's not right to do that. Don't do that. But if it's your own hotel room and you're just curious how easy it is to clone a hotel room key.
It's good to know for
this
yourself.
Is good to know.
Like, oh, wow. I didn't realize.
That's why they call it a pen test device, because it's a way of testing the security. And honestly, anything that you can hack with a Flipper Zero has very poor security and should be updated, mm-hmm. right? Like your car keys, like your hotel room key, things like that. Anyway, it was, for $169, it's loads of fun. Better than X-ray specs. So that is the Flipper.
Or a Dakota ring.
The Flipper Zero. I might buy some hats. I might play around.
Yeah, that'd
it.
Be fun.
Add it's an educate, and that's what I kind of mean. It's a little expensive to give to a 14-year-old, and I wouldn't give it to him unsupervised any more than I'd give him a laser.
Right.
Unsupervised, yeah. Right? But what a great learning thing. And this might be the kind of thing that could trigger a kid. I want to learn more about this.
Yep.
And I want to learn more about coding, and maybe I want to learn more about cybersecurity. And I think that's cool, right? Flipper Zero. There you go.
Awesome.
I can now break in as Micah.
Yes.
Oh, no, I didn't use yours.
You didn't use mine. I'm keeping it hidden.
That's actually good to know, because, for instance, we don't do this, but I know whose card key was used to enter the building.
Right.
If I wanted to murder John Ashley, I would use your card key.
And then murder
him. I would say I was never there.
Yeah.
Right? It was Micah who did the John's running.
So he's
thank you
here.
To John Ashley for helping me, by the way. He was the one shooting me as I.
Oh, so he was murdering you.
He was
shooting you.
Where'd my Flipper Zero go? Where'd it go? No, just kidding. Kind of cool, isn't it?
Very cool.
Yeah. And I think it was a very successful Kickstarter. They raised millions of dollars and they did it. And yeah, you know, one of the things you could do is make a universal remote with it.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea of changing the channel.
Kind of fun. Yeah, you can go into a bar and silence TVs or change them to ESPN. I want to watch the game. What's that? Emails. Yes. Well,
but we do have someone who's been sitting.
Oh,
we have an actual phone call.
Oh, which line is the phone call? Do I do that or do you do that? Which
the button says wireless
caller? Line 7. This is like the real deal. This is like
this is someone who
no more play
found
radio.
Out the what is it? 88
star. Press star 6 to unmute and say hello. Hello, caller.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hey, it works.
Hey, Leo and Mike.
What's your first name?
It works.
Yay.
First name is Larry.
Larry, hi, you're our first caller on our phone line. One, cool. What is it? Tug 24. Ha. I forgot what it is.
Who knows?
Who knows? Anyway, where are you calling?
Like a hot tub.
Where are you calling from, Larry?
I'm about 5 minutes away and here in Petaluma.
No, oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. I've spoken to you before.
That's awesome. Well, welcome. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm happy to be the first one on the hot tub line.
Yes.
Hot tub.
I've got an old 8-year-old desktop. It's an Asus, and it's, I think it's starting to give up the ghost, but I wanted to confirm with you. I about a month or two ago replaced the SSD, and then the original hard drive, which was kind of a hybrid drive, was starting to act a little weird, but I didn't replace it that time. Anyway, it finally, I think, died because the D drive, which is the data drive, which it was the original drive, started to not show up on the my PC. These are PCs, by the way. So I ordered a new hard drive, installed it, and downloaded my backup for my drive. Thank you for recommending that.
Yeah, longtime sponsor of the old radio show.
Now the the display is not working.
Oh, no. That's
and I don't think it's anything. Well, yeah, exactly. I don't think it's anything that I did in the process of changing the drives. I think because I noticed before, whenever I put it to sleep and I would reactivate it, the screen would kind of go flip off and on maybe 3 or 4 or 5 times. And I suspect maybe that the video card is going bad. It's got I believe it's a NVIDIA 970 or 960X, something like that. GX.
Well, that's
GX
pretty. 960. That's a pretty nice computer you got. It's got discrete graphics. So it could be that you knocked a cable loose, honestly, that it might've been a little bit loose. And then when you opened it up, it shook loose and now it's not working at all. So that's one. Here's probably the, so when you're doing this kind of troubleshooting, I always do the Sherlock Holmes method, right? Which is eliminate the easiest possibilities and narrow it down till you have only one left and there's your culprit. So the first thing I would try is booting, just to make sure it's not software, booting from a USB key if you can't. Oh, you can't see the screen, though. Can you, here's a test. Can you plug in an external monitor?
I don't have another one. Yeah. I mean, the external, no, this is a desktop. So the external monitor is.
Oh, it's a desktop.
It,
oh, okay. In. Okay. So, yeah, well, okay. So.
And I should say, regarding the cable knocking loose, it was working after I reinstalled the drive. I was able to access iDrive and download it. And it let it go to sleep. The iDrive did something weird. It put it on the new drive, but it put it into a folder called D. So then I had to take all the data from D and put it back and copy it into the root. And it was going to take something like 15 hours or something like that. So I just let it go to sleep. When I tried to wake it up is when I started having to, when it wouldn't work anymore.
Hmm.
So that does actually sound like software.
Yeah.
So what you would normally do, you obviously don't have a lot of gear. What I would normally do is go get a different monitor, try a different cable. So eliminate those obvious things. But I think it's probably not that. What I want to do is boot up into another operating system in case in the process of restoring something got overwritten or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can download Linux from Ubuntu.com, put it on a USB key and boot to it. Anything would do, even a Windows installer. And if you boot up from an external device and the screen works,
then
it's a driver or it's software or something was clobbered when you did the restore. That can easily happen. It sounds like, though, that this comes up when you sleep.
Yes, and it had been doing this for probably a month or so, even before I replaced the drive. So whatever was happening happening before replacing the drive.
Yeah.
That's why I suspect I did a little online research, which is always dangerous.
It is.
And it sounded like it could be the graphics card
Don't trust the online diagnostics. It could be the graphics card. It could be a lot of things. But that's that's the most expensive thing to fix, right? Here's another test. Can you boot into the BIOS setup, the screen before Windows, when you press F12 or escape or delete? You said it was an Acer?
Asus.
So can you find out what the Asus boot into the setup key is? If you could if you can reboot the machine and get into the setup screen, then your monitor's working, your cable's working. Then you kind of have some idea that it is something associated with Windows. Then the next thing I would do in that setup is say, don't use the discrete graphics card. Use the motherboard graphics. Because in almost every case where you have, it depends how Asus built this, but almost always you have both discrete, the NVIDIA card and a built-in Iris or some sort of Intel graphics. So you might be able to switch and just see if that works. That would tell if it's a video card. I don't think it's a video card.
Okay.
I think it's waking from sleep is the problem. The other thing to do is turn off, in Windows, you want to turn off fast boot. That's always been a bad idea. Thank you, Microsoft. And turn off Hibernate, because there are two ways to sleep. One is you just go into low power mode, but you continue to refresh the memory. So it takes a little bit of power. That's sleep. Hibernate, you save the contents of RAM out to the hard drive, and then you shut everything off. Then to wake up from hibernation is a difficult thing, because you have to power up. You have to then load in the contents of RAM from the hard drive, and then in theory, everything will work normally. Hibernation is also a bad idea. And so turning off fast boot and turning off hibernation often helps. The problem is if you can't get into Windows at all, when you reboot, does Windows work?
Well, here's the thing. The transfer of the data from the D, this is kind of weird too, the D folder to the root drive, it said it was going to take like something like 19 hours. So I started it yesterday evening, and I left the computer on all night. When I woke up this morning, I discovered the screen wouldn't move.
Yeah,
it slept, but it hadn't woken up. But the point is, I have not restarted. I was going to do a hard turn off and restart, but I wanted to make sure that data was transferred before I did that.
Oh, I see. Since you did the backup, this last backup, and now you've tried to put it back on the system with this new SSD, have you been able to do any new creation of files or anything like that? Or are you still just trying to get access to it now that you've made this change?
No, I did the restore. Mm-hmm. All the data was there. It worked. I was able to access my doc because my data is on the D drive, which is the one that failed.
Right.
I put it in the new 4 terabyte drive. Mm-hmm. As it was restoring, I would go in and I could pull up my documents. So it was all working just fine.
Right. If you haven't done anything new, then I think that what I'm trying to get at is maybe doing this restart is okay, because if you haven't,
still have a backup.
Yeah. If you haven't added anything new to this, then your last backup is still going to be good. So, trying to restart this process won't hurt anything because your backup is still good. Now, if during that process you were going in and making new documents and you're worried about losing those, I understand why you wouldn't want to do the restart. And to go to what you were saying earlier, Leo, for Asus, it seems to be pressing and holding the F2 button while you power down and power back up.
I didn't realize you hadn't tried to wake up, that you were reluctant to do anything. I think you reboot, everything's gonna be fine.
Well, I did try to wake up, but I haven't rebooted.
Yeah, it won't wake up. That's just because wake from sleep is horrible. And okay. there may not even be any purpose in doing that, because your SSD drive is not spinning. So all that's happening is it's refreshing memory. It's probably only using a few watts. If you turn off, I just turn off the screen and leave the computer running. But wake from sleep, Hibernate and fast boot all are notorious, because what happens is the computer has gone to sleep and now it's groggy and it can't figure out. I don't know what's going on. It can't turn on the computer. The good news is you haven't lost any data.
Right.
Because even
I'm not worried about the data. I just was concerned about having to buy a new computer or replace.
I don't want to start replacing. Don't just because it won't wake up now because it can't wake from sleep doesn't mean you need a new computer.
Yeah, you're not there yet.
Reboot. Well, no, yeah, you're not there. We got to figure out what's wrong.
Yeah, I've already replaced two drives, and I was thinking I have to replace the graphics card. Then it's not worth. It's not worth.
It's rare that those would go bad. Those generally do not go bad. Yeah,
that's good.
Solid state. So that's just kind of the rule of thumb: is the solid state stuff either is going to fail early because it's manufacturing defect and heat. You know, it gets heated up and it goes. Or if it's run for years, as yours has, it's very unlikely that they're going to fail. They're not going to go bad. Moving parts will. So that's why you're placing spinning drives. But that 960, I mean, it's experiencing a lot of heat. And if your fans, you know, weren't working, as a machine gets older, it accumulates dust, sometimes a blanket of dust covering the cooling vents and the fans and stuff like that. So make sure it's all clean in there and cooling's working. But I think it's just a wake from sleep problem. Not unusual, to be honest. And I don't like sleeping, as you can tell. Drink more coffee.
I will not sleep anymore, I promise. And I'm going to, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to do a shut off and reboot. Hopefully that'll work. I thought about doing that. I just wanted to wait till I made
some of the data. Yeah, I completely understand. And you're right. Your hard drive might be in an unknown state, but because you have that backup, you're not going to lose anything. The reason I put it in the D is because it didn't want to overwrite anything in C. You know, generally, if you're restoring on an existing system, you don't want to write the data to the same place it came from, because then, well.
No, I wanted, it came from D. I had a separate drive for the D.
Oh, okay.
It came from D, and it was a clean drive. I asked to go back to D.
Got
but
it.
For some reason, it was D and then the folder D. So my ears couldn't read it. Yeah. So I had to get it back into the root drive.
Yeah.
So I did
you're
a copy.
Moving it. But probably most of it moved over. And, you know, and then some of it may not have, some of it may have, but even if one file, it won't go to sleep in the middle of a file. So it went to sleep. I think nothing died. I think it just went to sleep and it's hard to get up. And if you reboot it and everything operates normally, turn off sleep, turn off hibernate, turn off fast boot, see how it works. The only thing that I sleep now is my screen. The screen is the big juice user. Everything else is pretty, you know, it's a few watts. Okay.
That's great advice. Thank you, guys.
Thank
I appreciate
you for
it.
Calling.
It's great to see you, Larry. And if you can't get it working, just bring it in. Bring it in here.
Yeah, that's true. You are very close.
I was going to say, if you see me at your front door, I'm either going to have the machine or I'm going to have some ice cream.
Ice cream or machine? Do you work in an ice cream shop, Larry?
No, but I'll just bring you something for if it works.
No, don't,
if
I turn it on, you don't have to bring us anything.
That's very kind.
That's what we do here. Hey, thanks, Larry. And congratulations, our first happy tug. And that's really good.
The hot tub.
Hot tub, whatever it was. The good news is I have completely forgotten the acronym. God. Thank goodness. 888-724-2884 to call Ask the Tech Guys. And yes, I think we have another one. Which one is that? Is that 7 again?
Oh, Harvey. Okay, this time we actually have a caller ID.
Is that 7? Yes. Send to breakout room, right? Or what? What do I do?
Yep, that worked.
Line 7. Harvey. Hi, Harvey.
It's actually Dr. Mom. Whoa. I'm calling you from my phone for a change.
Dr. Mom!
Hello.
Yes, so it's Lil. Hi, Lil.
Hi. Just wanted to give you a follow-up. Remember I called in 2 weeks ago with that problem with the changing MAC addresses, messing up my system?
Yeah.
I basically ripped the system apart, threw everything with a changing MAC address off it, reinstalled them, problem went away, turned it off. That seems to have been the issue.
And you left the rotating MAC addresses off on the Apple devices?
And on my Android devices.
And the Android.
Just left it off and left it and off. That stabilized.
Excellent. Hey, I'm glad you used the phone number too. We've got a proof of concept.
I didn't get a video call because I was going to show Micah. I just finished another stuffed bird.
Oh,
another crocheted stuffed bird.
Micah and Lil are crocheters.
That we are.
Partners in crochet.
Yes.
Well, next time, show us the stuffed bird. Show us your bird next time.
But thank you for calling and giving the phone a ring.
Yay.
It's good to know.
It's great to talk to you, Lil. I'm glad it worked. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you a follow if somebody else is having the same issue.
Just take that stuff off.
What was going on.
In theory, I looked after your call. I looked into it more, and in theory, it's supposed to just turn itself off when you're in the house and it's not roaming. It's supposed to turn itself off on the iPhone and on the Mac. They're not supposed to do that, but apparently they do. Yeah. Good to know.
Thanks. Yeah, it was giving the system a fit.
Thanks, so, Lil.
Turned it off. It all works working now.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay, talk to you later.
Take care. Bye. I'm glad that works. That's working.
It's waking.
So we got a phone number, 8887
He's trying to kill me.
8887-2-HA-TUG. Is that right?
I think it's 8887. Yeah, it would have to be 2-HA-TUG, wouldn't it?
Anyway.
888-724-2884.
I think that's probably...
Gumby, that is not a real thing. Stop it.
Yeah, people in our chat room are making up new wonderful
One Tut Saga Tug. I hope that one's real.
One Tut Saga Tug would be great. Anyway. Let me do an ad. Coming up in about half an hour, Chris Marquardt, our photo guy. We're going to do a review and then give you a new assignment from the Fishbowl. Our show today brought to you by our wonderful friends at Mint Mobile. We are Mint Mobile fans. I got my Mint Mobile iPhone SE for, I ended up, because I tried it for, I did the 3-month trial. I said, this is great. And I ended up paying a yearly thing for it and got the price down even lower. I think it's the greatest way to get a cell phone for a lot less than those big wireless carriers. Now, here's the secret. And apparently you even saw this. T-Mobile is planning to buy Mint Mobile. That hasn't happened yet. But Mint Mobile is an MVNO. They resell T-Mobile. So if you get T-Mobile connectivity in your neck of the woods, if it works for you, do not pay, as I do, hundreds of dollars a month for T-Mobile when you can get Mint Mobile for as little as $15 a month. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. Premium wireless service. Unlimited nationwide talk and text, plus data, and you buy just the data you need, okay? They do have an unlimited plan, but my suggestion would be look at your bill, see how much data you've used over the past 3 months, get that plan. I think that for most people, the $15 a month plan is plenty, plenty. You get the best rate, too, whether you're buying for one person or a family. Families start at 2 lines. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. It works great. If you want to bring your own phone, they'll send you a SIM for free. They even do eSIM. So if you have a more modern phone, they'll do the eSIM. That's even easier. You keep your phone, you keep your contacts, you keep all that stuff, and you can move the phone line over. So the number, you can even keep your number. Or they sell phones. That's where I got my iPhone SE from Mint Mobile at a very, very reasonable price. Switch to Mint Mobile. Get premium wireless service. That's 5 gigs a month, which for most people is plenty. $15 a month. Unlimited nationwide talk, text, and 5 gigabytes of data, which for most people is plenty. Now compare that to your existing bill. I bet you're paying $70, $80, $90 a month. Family plans start with just 2 people. Get your new wireless plan, just $15 a month. They'll ship it to your door for free. They don't even charge you for the SIM. Go to mintmobile.com/ATG. Bring your current phone or get a new phone. mintmobile.com/ATG. And if you want to, you know, more, if you need more data, you go after a month. Oh, I need more data. By the way, the additional data is not expensive, but if you need more, you can switch plans easily. It's a really good service. They save the money, frankly, because of the first company to sell wireless service online only. So no stores means lower cost. mintmobile.com/ATG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. Thank you, Ryan, for creating a great phone service. mintmobile.com/ATG. All right. It looks like we have a call from John. Should we go to John? And then let us get those phones ringing. 888-724-2884. 888-724-2884. We also have some emails, ATG@twit.tv.
Ron writes in and says, hello, Leo.
Hello. Micah.
My question is about a rumored hearing aid technology where Bluetooth earbuds would send from their microphone to your smartphone, where it's processed for your level of hearing impairment and then transmitted back to your earbuds. The theory was that smartphones had much more processing power than self-contained hearing aids. Do you know if this idea was ever implemented?
Yes, Apple did it with AirPods.
Yes, they did.
And Kevin Toefel wrote a great article, and I followed his steps, and I did it, and it works. So let me show you where you start. You start with a program called Mimi, which is a hearing test program. It's free. You can download it. You know, look, I wear real hearing aids, the $6,000 models. I've tried Starkey's and currently use Resounds. They're very, very expensive. We now have over-the-counter hearing aids, which aren't much less expensive, but they're a little more. Competition is going to bring that price down in the long run. But this is a way, if you have AirPods, that you can use them. I think you could probably use maybe Beats and some other devices, but I know this works with AirPods. Mm-hmm. So I put in my AirPods Pro. I downloaded the Mimi hearing test. When I got my hearing aids, the audiologist did something very similar. I went in a little soundproof booth and, you know, you have a little clicker and you click it if you can hear the sound. This works very similarly. So it was able to, listening to tones, and you press a button when you can hear it, plot out my hearing. And this actually looks very much like the one I got. This is a hearing curve from my audiologist. Like many older people, my high end has declined. My low end's still pretty normal. My high end's declined. And by the way, there's two ears, so that's why there's two little graphs. Now, what's really cool about this, and you can get a little demo from the Mimi app, and all of this was free. I didn't even need to create a Mimi account. You could if you wanted to, but you don't have to. And they also, you know, note that you can get these overtone hearing aids or whatever. But what you can do with your curve is you can send it to Apple Health. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. So let me open Health now. There we go. And, look at that. It was loud. You know what that was? That was American Graffiti Days yesterday. Going down the street, it got to 111 dB. This is another thing, by the way. If you haven't lost your hearing yet, Micah, take good care of your hearing.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about the iPhone and the Apple Watch is they will give you noise notifications, and they will let you know if you're in an environment that is dangerous to your hearing, as this one was. Lisa had her earplugs in. I was very proud of her, but I did not. Let me see if I can find where this ended up going. It ends up going into accessibility, and then you can then, so it's in my health, and then you can apply accessibility. You can apply it to the sound that's coming from your hearing aids, into your AirPods, but you have to do that in the accessibility settings. Again, I would suggest reading Kevin's article. We'll put a link in the show notes because I'm running through this pretty quickly, but you can go into your hearing devices. Where is it? So my problem is I have both AirPods and hearing aids. So I am confused.
I believe it's accessibility and then it is, let me see.
AirPods. There it is. Yeah, I found it. AirPods. So I am going to say my AirPods Pro, and it gives you some settings, but if you scroll down a little bit, it will somewhere.
Audio accessibility.
Oh, there it is. Audio accessibility. It will allow you to get the processing through the phone so that it applies basically that curve that you generated with Mimi to your AirPods. Now, AirPods have another advantage. They have very good sound reproduction and they have noise cancellation. Be careful when you're doing Mimi to turn off the noise cancellation. Mimi will explain this to you so that you don't have that on during the test. So it's for supported Apple and Beats headphones. I can have headphone accommodations. And then you can choose, if you haven't done the Mimi test, balanced tone, you could choose various settings. But I have an audiogram, which I imported into Apple Health from Mimi. And that audiogram is now applied to my AirPods. And you see it says both for phone and media. So I am now, the AirPods are automatically adjusting for my hearing loss. Now, there's one more thing that you can do, which is with the AirPods. Have you ever done this, Micah? You can use them with the microphone on the phone.
Yes, and I can't think of the feature now. I had it earlier. It's like follow, listen, or listen. I can't remember. Live listen, I think.
Live listen. I think you're right. I think that's what it is. So you can turn on live listen with your AirPods, and now you have a microphone in your phone that then goes to your AirPods with the applied hearing differences. But you don't have to do that to make the AirPods head to be hearing aids. In transparency mode, you know, that's one of the settings on the AirPods. Maybe not the regular ones, the pros. You hear ambient sounds as well as the music you're listening to.
Right.
Stop the music, turn on transparency mode, and now the microphones are picking up sound with your curve applied. So you will now hear voices better. You'll hear ambient sounds better. That ambient sound is being, it's basically equalization curve that it's boosting up for my hearing, the high end, so that I'm hearing voices better. It actually works. Here's the downside. You only get about 5 hours listening time in AirPods, right? When I wear my hearing aids, I wear them when I, first thing I wake up to the time I go to bed, you know, 16 hours. Mm-hmm. You can't do that with AirPods. Kevin points out you could, and it's still a lot less than $6,000. Buy two or even three AirPod sets, right?
Right.
And then as the batteries die, you put them back in the case, let them charge up. Two would be enough. And then start using the other AirPods, and you go switch back and forth. Two AirPods for what? That's like $400, less than, is a lot better than $6,000.
Indeed.
However, it isn't. If you have severe hearing loss, it's not going to be a good solution. It's really for people with moderate to light hearing loss, just to make it a little bit better to hear, you know, people's voices around you. The transparency mode, it works. It works quite well. Kevin liked it. I like it. It does work. Here's the downside. The other downside besides battery life is people think you're not paying attention to them because you have your AirPods in. So you have to explain, no, I'm using my AirPods as hearing aids. Now, I think in the long run, people are going to get used to this. But right now, if you're wearing your AirPods, people think you're listening to music.
Exactly, not listening to them.
So you'll have to explain to people, no, I'm using these as hearing aids so I can hear you better, and I'm very interested in what you have to say. So please pay no attention to those. I think now that more and more people are wearing AirPods all the time, we're going to get used to this, and I think this is really good. Over-the-counter hearing aids, AirPods. The truth is that of people who need to wear hearing aids, only about 1 in 5 actually get them. And that's very bad because you're hearing, when your hearing starts to deteriorate, there's also cognitive decline associated with it because you're kind of isolated from the world and you go more and more inward. It's a really bad thing. People who need hearing aids should get them, not just for your friends and family who are mad that you can't hear them, not just because you turn up the TV way too loud when you're watching it, but because it'll help you with cognitive decline as well. So if you do notice you can't understand people as well, and when you get to, you know, in your 60s, this is not unusual. You'll probably notice it too, Micah, at some point. Then it's time to get some hearing aids. I do hope the price comes down because $6,000 is ridiculous. In the United States, healthcare plans do not usually cover hearing aids. Medicare does not cover hearing aids. So that's a big out-of-pocket expense. This is a good alternative. If you already have AirPods and you can put them in transparency mode, do this. Download Mimi, go through the test, apply those settings in health, you know, get the audiogram into your health. And then once you've got it in health, you can apply those settings in accessibility. And you'll have some hearing aids. I am glad to see Eric.
So am I. I've been worried.
We were worried about you, Eric.
Oh, our Eric, truck driver.
Our truck driver.
So glad you're okay.
Yes.
Glad to have you back.
Yes. He is wearing his audio boom headset, so there won't be a lot of background noise. And we were for a long time playing, where in the world was Eric San Diego? Where are you right now, Eric? Where are you calling us from? He's still muted.
Yeah, he's keeping his eyes on the road.
He's driving, as he should be.
While we do that, I do have another question.
All right, I gave you the very long answer on the hearing aids. But I think it's really cool. And again, credit to Kevin Toefel. If you search for Kevin, T-O-F-E-L, and AirPods, you'll find that article. It's on Stacey Higginbotham's Stacey on IoT website. You'll find it very quickly. There's Eric. Hello, Eric.
Yay.
Where are you driving these days? Where are you going?
I'm going through Vegas right now.
Nice.
Ah.
It's great to see you. We missed you. We were hoping everything was okay.
Yeah, my schedule changed around a bit, and I had quite a few Sundays off and, you know, spend time with the family.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do if you're not driving is call us.
Exactly. Please. I'm glad you were taking that time. That's fantastic.
I do have a question, though.
Oh, good.
But who do you recommend for recovering a dead hard drive? I know you've mentioned stuff in the past. I can't remember what it is.
It's expensive. It has to be something you really, really want.
Unfortunately.
So there's two ways hard drives die. There's soft and hard, right? A software failure, it's not really a software failure, but the soft is if, you know, something, you know, there's an electrical signal that goes through your hard drive and it, you know, sprays ones and zeros across the drive. Then some of it may not be legible, especially if it is damaged in the catalog for the drive. Every drive has a kind of like a catalog of what's on the drive. So if that's damaged, maybe all the data is still there, but the catalog can't be read. So your drive looks like it's empty. You know, that's a software error. And a lot of times you can download software to fix it. If, on the other hand, the head hits the drive and scrapes it, or there's physical damage, or the actuator motor dies, or the electronics on the drive dies, then the data may be there, much of it, but you won't be able to read it even with software because the drive itself is non-functioning. That's when you bring it to a drive recovery company. There are many of them. The one I've probably mentioned is one just down the road here called Drive Savers. They're very well known. They have a clean room, right? Because you can't open a drive in the regular air. It's too much dust. So they do it in a clean room. They have all the parts for all the drives. So if an actuator motor is dead, they can actually replace that. If the circuitry is dead, they can replace that. But it's going to cost you. Get ready, Eric. I hope you're paying attention. You're driving, but keep your eye on the road. As much as $5,000.
Holy God.
To do this. It is not cheap. Yeah. Okay. There are other companies that do this. They're all about the same price. There's one in L.A. that when I was doing the radio show, a lot of people referred to. I know Drive Savers and other Drive Savers people. They became well known because they hired a grief counselor for their phone line. Because when people call, they're usually, I lost my hard drive.
Wow.
Yeah. This is the lesson you will learn. You will always back up from then on, right?
And as far as software goes, is SpinRite a good choice for this?
It depends on what the data error is. SpinRite is very good at one particular kind of thing where maybe the signal on a sector is hard to read or it's a bad sector. SpinRite does is it's more aggressive in reading the data on the drive than your operating system. It won't give up, which means it could take some time, but it'll keep reading that sector till it gets the data. It'll move the data off the sector, and then it will mark that sector bad, so you never use it again. So in certain cases, SpinRite is a very good solution. It just depends on why the data is damaged. And this is the problem. It's hard to know what's going on. You know, sometimes it's just as simple as the circuit. You know, when you look at a hard drive, it's got a circuit card on it. That circuit card could be broken.
Right.
That's should be a cheap thing for Drive Savers to replace. They don't need to open the drive. So
yeah, I have the dreaded clicking, you know, hard drive noise, and it fails to boot up.
Okay, so clicking usually means the actuator motor has died or the bearings have frozen up or something like that. Yeah, it's going to cost you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was between backups, and I was moving from one drive to the other as a backup, and when I finally got it over, it was a brand new hard drive and it literally died the next day. Ugh. And I didn't have time to make a backup of the backup.
So it's a brand new hard drive that failed. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's a drive that I've had for a long time. I know it's expensive and I couldn't remember, you know, who you recommended to go to.
Yeah. I've used Drive Savers. They're good. I know the guys over there. It's just really, really expensive. Drive Savers, datarecovery.com.
Perhaps
I got one other thing.
With hope, yours will be one of the less expensive.
I would hope so. There's some important stuff on it. I know Mint Mobile is a great sponsor of yours, and I have a unique case here because, you know, I do all my GPS for driving on an iPad Mini, and I also use it for streaming, you know, whatever I want to listen to when I'm driving. And I got a unique deal on T-Mobile, and this was like about a year ago. They had a deal. If you're signed up as a T-Mobile business partner, you could get a data only plan for your tablet for $10 a month.
Nice.
And they would give you a free, really inexpensive, you know, Android tablet.
I remember that.
Well, the tablet wasn't completely free. They would give you a credit back to the account each right. month that you had it. Well, I went ahead and paid off the installment on the tablet, and they're still giving me the credit for the tablet, even though it's paid off. But right now I have a data only plan with T-Mobile for the tablet, and it cost me $1.66 a month.
Wow. How much data do you use typically?
I use a ton, and I use a ton on the road, and I've never been throttled.
Boy, are they regretting selling you that? You know, I remember the former CEO of AT&T said the worst thing I ever did was offer unlimited data to iPhone users. When they first got the iPhone, remember, you could get this unlimited data plan. And he said Randall Stevenson said it practically killed us. Fortunately, you know, they phased most of those people out. There are very few people still have the grandfathered unlimited data plan. Well, I'm sure T-Mobile would like to phase you out, but I'm glad you got it. That's great.
I'm locked in right now. Now, one other thing for your listeners, you probably have a lot of first responders that listen to your show. At least I know they did on your radio show. I retired last year as a deputy sheriff. I was a deputy sheriff for 22 years. I'm now trucking. I was able to join FirstNet. Now, FirstNet's a first responder network ran by AT&T, and with your credentials, you become a FirstNet AT&T subscriber, but it's for first responders, but it's everything from fire to police to anybody that has anything to do with natural disaster response or anything, EMTs, paramedics, anything. And the great thing about it is you're a subscriber, but you have complete priority on the cell towers. Oh. So earthquake, flood, any kind of natural disaster, when the cell towers get clogged up and they start rejecting all the calls, your top priority and your call goes through. Also, it's truly the only left plan you can buy that's truly unlimited. There's absolutely no data cap, no throttle limit, nothing. That's also an option for anybody that your listeners that may be a first responder that is looking for a really good cell phone plan.
So you can get it as an individual if you work as an EMT or in some other field. You could just get it as an individual. Right. Oh, that's great.
Cool.
If you're employed.
This is really a great service from AT&T, and I wonder if some of this is because Verizon got in trouble for slowing down the first responders who were responding to the wildfires a couple of years ago in L.A.
Yeah, it was a response to that, but... It is a contract with the federal government through FEMA, I believe,
right.
That AT&T is building out an entirely separate. They're still doing it. It's ongoing all the time. They're going to build out a complete cell phone network that covers 90% of the landmass of the United States, and it uses band. Wow. I believe it's band 12. So you have to have a cell phone that's band. I think it's band 12 or band 14. Compatible, and as long as you buy it from AT&T, they almost all are. And then you could be in an area eventually, in theory, where there is no cell service, but you would have cell service. That doesn't quite work yet in my experience. But AT&T has the contract to manage and build that network for the foreseeable future.
It looks like eligibility is pretty broad here too. You should really investigate this if you are a first responder. This is a really great thing. Eric, thank you for telling us about this. I had no idea.
It does work really, really well. And 5G, for a while, 5G was not, if you were a FirstNet member, subscriber, you did not have 5G. That is now not the case. You do now have access to 5G. It does work all over the place.
This even applies to non-sworn civilian law enforcement. This is quite a broad swath of first responders. I think this is really good for AT&T for doing this.
And it's very, very inexpensive for what it is. I mean, it's about $50 to $60 a month for an individual, and it's completely untethered, unlimited, all you can eat.
Wow.
You know, and your phone will work, you know, in a natural disaster.
So. That's really, really great. You're also an amateur radio guy, right? You're a ham?
Yes, I'm a I am a ham radio. I need to get my next license. I just have my, I forget what it is. I think I need to get the general next.
Yeah. You have the, it used to be called the novice, but I think they have a better name for it now, technician, I think. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's well worth doing. Well worth doing. And especially if you're a trucker, if you have a handy talkie, that gives you a whole extra means of communicating in emergencies.
Yeah, if you know how to, if you know how to map out all the repeaters, yeah, you could talk across the country.
Yeah, your whole time. Much better than CB. Hey, Eric, thank you. What a thrill to talk to you. We see you driving. I'm glad we can get you on the show. One more question, because everybody wants to know, what's the name of that boom mic you're using?
Oh, this is the OpenShock OpenCom.
Oh, from AfterShocks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
OpenCom.
Yeah, AfterShocks OpenCom. I've been using that too, because after Alex Lindsay recommended it, it's all he uses. It's amazing. There's no background noise whatsoever.
I can't talk on anything else. You really need to have situational awareness. You know, all the
We're losing the cell signal.
A lot of the headsets are just one-sided, but found them.
Yeah. Yeah, this is I use it too, and it's fantastic. It's so light, and it's not in your ears, so it's safe to wear as a driver because you still would hear emergency vehicles and so forth. I really like this. I got one after Alex Lindsay recommended it, and boy, this is a great test for the noise canceling. It's working excellent. Hey, it's great to talk to you, Eric. Have a great day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
But first, a word from our sponsor, Fastmail. I am a more than a decade Fastmail customer. I've been actually telling people to get Fastmail for years. If you use email and you're still stuck on one of the free email services because, well, it was free, that's a recipe for disaster, especially if you're a business. You got to get Fastmail. It's for people who care about their privacy, people who care about having great tech support, people who use email professionally, make your email work for you. They've got a great web app. They have a really great, in fact, I don't no longer use Apple Mail because the Fastmail app on the iPhone is spectacularly good. They have Android as well. You can now add or buy a domain through Fastmail. And because Fastmail is a leader in email, it supports all of the authentication methods that other email services often require. So your mail's going to get through. You can have the ability to send and receive emails from your own domain. This is what I do. I have Leoville. I actually have many domains at Fastmail, and I have all my email through them, which is fantastic. If my website, leo.fm, if you send anything to leo.fm, anything at leo.fm, it will come into my inbox. I can use Fastmail's incredible filtering system to move it in and out of any folder I want. It's real IMAP, but it also adds Gmail-style tags. So you can have folders and tags. Oh, I could go on and on. For 20 years, Fastmail's been a leader in email privacy. They believe in working for customers as customers, people to be cared for, not products to be exploited. No advertising, no tracking. You are at the center. And I think, honestly, if email is important to you, it's worth it to pay for your email. Free email you pay for, but you pay for with privacy, and that's not so great. As little as $3 a month for Fastmail, spectacular spam filters. You are in absolute control of all the filtering. No ads. The website, you know, the web email or the email on your phone has, you know, you can reading pane, you can customize it. You can create new masked email addresses for your password manager. You can have colors, scheduled send. So you could send in mail like tomorrow, first thing, snooze, folders, labels, search bar. It's a great search, by the way. I have, there is no mail I can't find now. Fastmail is amazing. If you use Bitwarden or 1Password, Fastmail makes it easy for you to create not only unique passwords for every account, but unique email addresses for every account. Desktop, mobile, I could go on and on. I use Fastmail like crazy. I want you to try it. And it's very easy to move to Fastmail. You can download your old data, import it into your Fastmail inbox. You can even fetch your mail from your old Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo account so that you never miss a message. Fastmail is moving email forward. They create new internet standards and open source innovations that many other email services adopt. Don't get left behind by substandard email providers. Seriously, if email is important, stop the insanity. Get Fastmail. Reclaim your privacy. Boost productivity with Fastmail. You could try it free for 30 days. Please at least do that. Fastmail.com/twit. Fastmail.com/twit. Is Marquardt on the line here?
Yes, he is.
Mr. Chris Marquardt, photo guru. Hello. It's great to see you. He is at discoverthetopfloor.com. He has wonderful... You're getting ready for Eastern European photo safari, right?
Well, that's in September. September, we'll be going down to... From Germany all the way down to Transylvania in Romania.
Ah, so, wonderful.
With lots of photography on the way.
Discover the Top Floor. He's a great photo coach. Really the best. It's great to see you, Chris. I forgot. Yeah, it's back. Been a month. What was our assignment this month?
Straighten up the ties. Let me see.
I still have the little slip of paper. Fancy.
Oh, Mr. Fancy. Assignment. Oh, you're so fancy.
Mr. Fancy. Yes. We have a lot of fancy photos. Well, we could have gotten a few more, but I've seen this in another photo related thing. I think it's springtime. People want to be doing stuff that's not
photography. Well, and then we went from the radio to the internet version of the show. We're slowly moving people over. We're here for more and more of the old radio.
I'm seeing the same thing on my side too. Oh, so okay. It seems to be spring related. Yeah. So anyway, we have photos and I have them here. Our fancy photos. Thanks everyone for handing those in. And of course I've made a choice of three to look at here. And the first one is by Blue Sky Over Aquatic. Let me see if we have a title on that photo. AA6A3760. That's the title of the photo. Well, isn't that a beautiful bird?
Is that an egret or a heron or something? I don't know what it is, like, but it's gorgeous.
Egret. Oh,
yeah.
Does it say? No, it doesn't.
No, if he didn't name it.
Well, it's an AA37 something.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
There we go. There we go. But hey, isn't that a fancy bird and a fancy photo?
Very fancy.
That thing is tech sharp in the really good exposure. I love how there's detail in all, even on the back of the bird. It's really difficult with white birds over a dark surface like this water surface to get that exposure right and then to nail that exposure. I'm pretty sure that Blue Sky Over Aquatic, the photographer, has taken more than one picture to get that one. So
yeah, you know, that's not I can tell because the background's not blurred. That's not one of those panning shots. He had a very high frame rate.
Well, I'm pretty sure he panned the camera with the flight.
Oh, you think so?
But the exposure time must be. Don't know, a 2,000th of a second, a 4,000th, something really.
That's beautiful.
Really short beautiful. To freeze the motion. Yeah.
And I think it's second an egret. I think it's an egret. Probably, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
Second photo is by Ron Hikes 816, nice, and it's a tulip. I can identify that one. That's a tulip. And
perfect time of year for that.
And it has water on it, water droplets dripping off it. Let's see if there's a description here. Rainy tulip, that's the title. Thanks, I appreciate putting a title on it. And it's a simple photo. It's a macro kind of shot, so it's a very close-up shot. So we have the background being completely out of focus, so it's clear where the focus is. The color scheme is very typical. It's a reddish flower in front of a green background, so we have this complementary color contrast and lots of nice detail. Again, exposure, Ron nailed the exposure here and the focus, so yeah, I'm happy with that. Quite fancy.
Very fancy.
Okay. Beautiful. The last but not least is by Demi Lente, as so often.
fancy PP&J.
I think it is quite fancy. So we were looking at a peanut butter jelly sandwich and a glass of milk on a table. It's a nice little studio setup. So there's the light hits it really well. It's fancy because it's a crustless. Makes it even more fancy than a regular one, and lots of peanut butter and lots of jelly on it.
You know what, Julia Child said, peanut butter and jelly is actually the perfect sandwich because it has salty and sweet, and it's got the tooth that's just perfect when you bite into it.
You know, the thing is, in Germany, peanut butter and jelly sandwich isn't a thing. So,
wow. What?
We don't do that. Well, some people do, but do it's not a thing that we grew up with.
Do you have peanut butter?
We do, but it's
do you not have as jelly? Much stable.
Yes, we do.
Do you have bread?
Yeah.
Just don't put them all together very often.
Yeah. Wow.
Not that often, no. Really not. But
what is, I have to ask, what is the German peanut butter and jelly? Like what?
Yeah, what do kids eat?
Kids snack that you go to.
Okay, so there's a chocolate in Germany called SZ-Schnitten, and it's like thin slices of chocolate that you put on a piece of bread that has been buttered. So there's bread, there's butter, there is the slice of chocolate on it.
Sounds very healthy.
Eat your schnitzel or you don't get no dessert.
Chocolate on bread. There we go.
Chocolate on bread. Right. Wow.
That's cool.
You mean in their lunch, but do German children have lunch boxes?
Yeah, and sometimes lunch you can get that. If that's a fancy kind of kids thing.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. It was fancy. Three beautiful, fancy pictures. And now I'm in the mood for a PP&J sandwich. But before we do that, let's go to the fishbowl.
Go to the fishbowl and draw a new adjective. Yes. And it is going to be, dull.
Dull. We went from fancy to dull.
Interesting.
Now, let me explain how this works. You're going to go out in the next month and you're going to keep in mind the assignment to take a picture. Now, it's not a dull picture, right? It's a picture of dull. Is there a difference?
It could be a dull picture of something dull. It could be a fancy picture of something dull. It could be a dull picture of something fancy. There's lots of ways to interpret it.
We're not going to tell you. We don't, Chris is, no hints. But here's the thing. You're going to take that picture, and then you're going to, if you find one that really says to you, man, this picture says dull, you're going to tag it TG for Tech Guy Dull. TG Dull, and you're going to upload it to Flickr. Actually, when you upload it to Flickr, you'll then tag it because Flickr allows tagging. And then submit it to the Tech Guy group, okay? So let's go to the Tech Guy group right here. You'll know you're in the right place because you'll see my smiling face. We're 5 members away from 14,000 members.
That is wild. That is totally wild.
5 more members and we'll cross the 14,000. That's a big group. 7,700 photos. There's the photo pool. When you submit it with the tag TG Dull, Renee Silverman, our wonderful moderator, will say, oh, thank you. We'll put that in the pool. And in 4 weeks from right now, Chris will come back. It's the third Sunday in June. And we'll. Yep,
that's the 18th of June.
18th. We'll pick 3 photos and give you credit on the air, and we'll take a look at your picture. Dull. But you may not take an old picture and send it on. You need to get
it. No, it has to be new. You have to get off that sofa and move and take pictures.
That's the point, right? Yeah. Is to get you off the sofa and go get some photos. Chris is at discoverthetopfloor.com. Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. If you want find out about those workshops, he's got them there, discoverthetopfloor.com. And he also hosts the longest running photo podcast, still to this day, going strong, Tips from the Top Floor at tfttf.com. Thank you, Chris. It's great to see you. Glad we can get you on.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful Sunday. A
month from now.
Okay, tschüss. Bye-bye.
Tschüss.
They don't eat peanut butter and jelly in Germany.
No.
What a disappointment.
But I found the chocolate.
Oh, you found a schnitzel? It's
at German Shop 24. I found it. I can get some for $2.99. You get 8 stooks.
Stooks?
8 stooks of the chocolate.
I think I'd rather have peanut butter and jelly.
Me too.
What flavor jelly do you like? The traditional would be grape, right?
I like blackberry or raspberry or any berry that has seeds in it. So I like preserves more than I like jelly.
John, Jammer B, is saying, why give up the chocolate? Peanut butter, jelly, and chocolate.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Then it's a cross-cultural extravaganza.
This is true. And they even have a kind that has hazelnut pieces in it, a kind of Schnitten that has
I like the hazelnut. Yeah. I like a little hazelnut in my...
I also liked, as growing up, I liked apricot jelly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adam's on the line. Hello, Adam. On our special phone line. I'm so excited. This phone line is working so well. And if you want to call in, don't forget it's... What was the best
eight,
one?
887.
No. I got one. Oh, there's one. I got the one that's all lettuce.
Oh my gosh.
All lettuce. Somebody one
pound
tut,
six. Oh.
No.
Star six.
One tut saga tug.
Like a pound sign, an octothor.
One tut saga tug. Yes. And hello, Adam, are you there?
Don't forget to hit star
I'm
six.
I'm here. Can you hear me, Leo?
Yes, we can. Where are you calling from?
Can you hear me, Leo?
Yes. Good.
Putnam Valley, New York.
Beautiful Putnam Valley. What's up?
Yes. So first of all, you've helped me many a time, so I'm coming to you again.
Thank
you. Because every time you help, you definitely were helpful.
Wonderful.
So here's the situation. I have a 2,500 square foot house. I have a Airport Extreme I'm still using since 2014 with another airport, the smaller airport, the what was it called? The Express.
Oh, I love those.
What is it called? The Airport
Express. I used to have them all over the place. Yes, I have Airport Extreme base station, and you put the expresses out as the kind of like spread the Wi-Fi. And they
had extender,
and they had, which was unique, not only an Ethernet port, but they had a headphone jack, so you could plug speakers into it.
Yeah,
AirPlay.
And spread your music along with your Wi-Fi and your peanut butter and jelly. Yeah. Yeah, but Apple stopped making them more than 4 years ago, right?
I think more than four. Yeah. I think it's closer to 10.
Actually, they stopped making them 10 years ago. They stopped updating them.
Yeah.
This is the problem.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So for that reason, and also I know I'm missing a lot of the different air frequencies, the radio frequencies.
You're not getting Wi-Fi 3, 4, or 5. Or 6.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So even though it's still working, I decided to go ahead and purchase the Google Nest Wi-Fi. It was on sale through Amazon. So I purchased two of them, one for downstairs, one for up. Good. My question to you is, was that the right move or should I send these back?
Well, have you set them up yet?
No, I haven't opened it yet.
I wanted
to hear what you had to say.
When they first came out with those, I didn't like them. I thought they were subpar compared to, say, the Eero or the Orbeez, which are two mesh systems I've really liked. So I gave it to my daughter, and she used it, and it's fine.
Fine for her, yeah.
So it really has a lot to do with how challenging your environment is. I think you will see immediately that they are better than what you were using, sad to say. And I think they work quite well. I think they've gotten better since I got them when they first came out. Mm-hmm. And they weren't Nest yet. And I think I've heard from all sources that they're much better than they used to be. Wirecutter still recommends the Eero's, I think. You recommend the Eero's.
Okay. I do. And I recommend them as someone who used to do those airports. I find that the sort of setup process is quite similar.
The Eero folks are former Apple people.
Yes. And you can tell, you can definitely tell. Cause that was, whenever you've said this, that was my main concern. You went from sort of one company to the other, the opposite, so to speak. And so in that way, I do wonder how you'll feel about the setup process and the continued process of sort of interacting with the Google devices, because that's something that I have not had the opportunity to try
haven't tried them lately. Yeah.
Yeah. How you go about modifying the settings.
I think it's pretty good. I have to say, I think, you know, everybody's looked at Eero and see how successful they were. The thing I don't like about Eero is they're bought by Amazon.
Right.
And it kind of worries me a little bit privacy wise. Eero's now, I mean, the ones you got, I presume are 6E. They are compliant with the very, very latest Wi-Fi. Did you get the pros?
I did not get the pros. No.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think, you know, I don't see any reason not to use them. Let's put it that way. I still think Eero is the kind of the top of the line.
And as far as consumer goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't use Eero at my place either. I use Ubiquiti.
Yeah, yours is like power consumer.
That's a little bit more sophisticated and also a lot more expensive. I hate to say send them back.
I know. Once you said, I have them, what are your thoughts? Yeah. That kind of changed things for me.
Yeah, I would say, as far as everything I've seen, the latest models are good. They're fine.
I do want to clarify, have the Nest Wi-Fi, not the Google Wi-Fi, which is the older model.
Yes. No, I have the Nest.
Okay. You just bought them.
I have the Nest Wi-Fi.
The one thing I would mention with the Eero, and this may or may not be a benefit, Amazon now is releasing Echo devices that work as Eero beacons. Mm-hmm. That means that you can get an Echo and it will help spread the Wi-Fi throughout the house. Now, Stacey Higginbotham says she got the latest Echo and was underwhelmed. She couldn't see any improvement performance at all from adding that to her Eero network.
I had a few Echo devices that were new enough that they did offer that. What I did like about Eero was that it actually said, you have enough signal without needing to add this on. Oh. Adding this on is not going to do you any better. So I think that the honesty there and sort of the understanding of how the Wi-Fi actually spreads throughout a home was really good and made me feel a lot better about it. But yeah, if you are an Echo household, you may have devices that are new enough that they can serve as essentially beacons. But yeah, now that you have the Nest Wi-Fi in hand, use it.
They're going to be better than the airports. Mm-hmm. They're going to be more up to date. Google is definitely going to keep them up to date and patch any problems. That's become the most important thing with any router. It supports Matter and Thread, which are the new standards for home automation. That's good. It means they'll work well with any home automation devices that you get. I see no reason not to keep them since you already bought them and all of that. I they're certainly not bad.
No, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with them.
All right, good.
I think they'll be very good. Yeah, I think they'll be very good. And I'm nervous about Amazon stuff at this point. I'm not sure I would buy Eero's just for that reason alone. Oh, there's one other thing.
Right, that's concerning.
The Eero's have a monthly subscription, which the Google's do not.
For added features, there is a monthly subscription.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to look at the, comparison chart to see if you get anything for free with Google that you pay Eero for. But for a lot of people, you already got the sticker shock of several $100 for your router, and now you have to pay $99 a year? What are you talking about? So, again, stick
with me. I agree.
Look, we got five phone calls.
Okay, good deal. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. Thanks, good guys. Thank you, Mika.
Take care. Bye.
Bye, Wade. Great show.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know how do I hang up on people? They're gone. Oh. Okay. Wow, we've got so many calls. I don't know what to do. There's a guy also in the Zoom who's been reading my book this whole time from 10 years ago. What? Yeah, look at that. I don't know which one that is, hilarious. But it's got my face on it.
Is it?
Which one is that?
Oh, my goodness. It's Mike B.
Is that Mike B? Oh.
Oh, bring on Mike B. Where's so Mike I can B? Pick a bone with Mike B.
Mister, he's the one who said it should be Tug-a-ha.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's talk to Mike B. I don't think I've ever seen a picture of Mike B. in my life.
I know I have not.
Let's bring him into the Stargate.
Hello, welcome. Mike B.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you great. Calling from Jersey.
I am. First of all, for those who are of a certain age, they know what this shirt.
What does it say? I can't see.
I see.
Says load
star, *8, 1. Is that how you load a game on Commodore 64?
Very good for somebody who never owned a Commodore 64.
I never owned one, but I recognize BASIC when I see it.
So, before I get back to my reading, I do have a question.
What's the name? Which one is that? It's your camera because it's got the blurring on. It does my face, but it blurs the title. That's hysterical. It's like you're hiding the title.
It's Leo Laporte's Guide to TiVo.
Oh, yeah. TiVo. That was actually a pretty good book.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was only the TiVo one. It was the first, and they screwed me up by adding encryption, and none of that works ever again. But I had a great co-author on that who really knew what he was doing. Gareth Branwyn. Is Gareth credited on the front of that, Gareth Branwyn? I think he is.
Yes, he is.
Good. Yeah, he's really
good. And your hair is still brown, too, which is pretty neat.
And the other thing that book was helpful was there was a really good TiVo Forum. I know that you're a big TiVo guy, aren't you, Mike B? Are you still?
Absolutely. I don't mind the pre-roll ads. You can fast forward through them.
There's a phrase ads. I don't like much. I don't mind the pre-roll ads. Okay.
you can skip them, and they don't show up on anything that's recorded on premium TV like HBO.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a big deal for me.
I still have a bunch of TiVos with cable cards in them. And Lisa and I are now really looking at whether we should cut the cord and go to YouTube TV, which is, you know, $73 a month. I'm already paying a cable bill.
Yeah.
And her concern was, and we're really hooked on it, TiVo has the great commercial skip button. Don't you use it on this show, though. and so...
Do your ads.
Yes, Mike B,
do your ads, B. He always in the radio show is the guy who's telling me in the chat room, Leo, you're running out of time. You got to do your ads. So I have to, with Lisa, sit down. She says, okay, how do I skip on YouTube? And it's a little, especially on an Apple TV, because the Apple TV remote's not very good. Mm-mm. But you can tell Siri, because they skip ahead 3 minutes. So if you know how long the break is going to be, and most shows you kind of learn, you can actually do a very good skip that's almost as good as the green D skip button on TiVo. But that is the thing keeping us on TiVo, Mike. We love that.
So, Leo, you do know TiVo has an auto skip. You can set it to auto skip so you don't have to press the button.
You know why I don't do that? Because I mostly do it on Jeopardy. And bad for that. On Final Jeopardy, we'll skip to the answer.
Oh no.
And that makes me mad. Yeah. So I don't do that. I manually fast forward. TiVo's pretty good at fast forward.
Sometimes it's a great time for a restroom break too, so you don't want it to fast
forward. I'm rowing when I watch. I have to keep rowing. Anyway.
So, only watches TV while rowing.
No, that's I only watch Jeopardy while rowing. Oh, that's God. my deal with myself.
Your deal with God.
I can't watch Jeopardy unless I'm rowing.
Got it.
And I love Jeopardy, and I feel like I'm working out my brains and my muscles at the same
time. Just imagine you. Yeah. I want to buy a vowel.
I'm pretty good. No, that's not Jeopardy. That's Wheel of Fortune.
It is.
No, I do not watch Wheel of Fortune.
Why was I thinking Wheel of Fortune? I'm
Jeopardy. That's the
I'm
one.
I'm embarrassed.
You know, Alex Trebek
says. I know Jeopardy.
Says,
yes. I was thinking.
I'm very good at Jeopardy, by the way. If you ever want to.
I'm sure you are. You know lots of things.
I am very trivial. What can we do for you, Mike?
There's a lot of controversy. I think it was Google this week announced that they're going to support the top level domain of .zip and .mov.
MOV, yep.
Yeah. So a lot of people are concerned about .zip and .mov because they're executable files. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can explain to me why there is such a big hue and cry over that when we've been using an executable top level domain since the beginning of the World Wide Web .com.
That's a good point, isn't it? It's because .zip browsers, in most cases, unless they've been told not to, will automatically open zip files when you download them, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the combination of the fact that the TLD, the domain is .zip. So I could have, you know, leo.zip. You would get to the website, but I could also have the website automatically download a file the minute you got there. And then your browser would very conveniently open it and thinking it was unzipping it, execute it. Now, of course, it's not a zip file, and so that's problematic. Now, I have seen some security gurus on Twitter say, oh, no, you don't have to worry about that. I'm not convinced, and I actually will take you to a website and we can try it. You ready? It's documents-backup.zip. Now, watch. When I go there, look at that. I have downloaded a file called .zip, and in many cases, that file is automatically executed, and the README would pop up. Now, notice my machine, I have configured Firefox not to do that.
Yep.
But if you go to, on your browser, everybody at home, documents-backup.zip, and this pops up, then you auto-executed a file from the internet. Not a good idea. What's your Mac doing?
My Mac, first of all, says, do you want to allow downloads from this site?
Good.
And then it downloads it, but it does not open it because I have in Safari a very stupid feature that's called, and I quote, open quote, safe, unquote, files after downloading. Open safe files after. What are safe files?
Right.
Don't open them automatically.
This is the problem. And that's on by default, is to open those files.
Yes, it is on by default.
And this is the problem. Zips are considered safe files.
Archives are included in that safe.
And moves are probably considered safe files.
Movies, pictures, sounds, text documents, and archives.
So there is some debate, and I don't think Google would have done this if they thought it really was dangerous. There's some debate over whether this should be allowed. Too late. It is. .zip and .move have been approved by ICANN. Those are official TLDs, top-level domains, and Google's selling them. And you just saw me execute, you know, automatically download a file. So I guess the answer is, if you are using a Macintosh, Safari, turn off automatically open safe files. That's always been a dangerous thing.
By the way. I don't know why that's even enabled by default. It shouldn't be.
And I also tried it on my Mac. I use Edge because, you know, I'm still a Microsoft guy at heart. And it just downloaded because I do not have open safe files upon download turned on.
Good. So you got the file on there, which is not completely, that's harmless.
Unless
you're the kind of person that goes around looking in your download folder for zip files and then opens it. Because remember, it's not a zip file. In theory, the one that we just did was, but in theory, it's a file named .zip that actually is an executable. Mm-hmm. And so that's why calling it a safe file is really inappropriate, because you don't know if it's safe. It could be an executable. Anyway, I'm glad you asked about that. I have seen people say, security experts saying, no, it's not a big deal. I think it's potentially a big deal. I guess the point is you should turn off automatically open files. I don't know. I'm on a Windows machine using Firefox. It did not open it. So I just don't know. I think it's a bad idea. I'm not sure if I understand what Google's thinking is. I guess I don't know.
Hopefully this just means that we'll see these browsers stop enabling that feature by default.
It's the flipper zero of TLDs. Right. not necessarily horribly dangerous. I'm really glad you asked about that, Mike, because it is, you see the problem anyway.
And before we get away from the whole tug conspiracy thing, by the way, the last four digits also spell ATTG.
That's why we chose it. Yes.
Yeah, I figured it.
Yeah. That's why the very smart Jammer B chose 888-724-ATTG is our phone number. Mike B., it's so great to see you. Thank you for reading the guide to TiVo, and have a wonderful night, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Mike B. Bye-bye. You'll see Mike B. all over the IRC, irc.twit.tv. I've known Mike since, I think he was one of my first moderators on IRC.
Oh, wow.
Back into the 90s. Known Mike for a long, long time. I'm really mad that we are out of time. I'm really mad. I want to do so much more. We got Captain Crunch waiting for us.
We've got calls on calls on calls.
Five calls we got. Woo. I am so glad you all called in.
Me too.
Again, we'll be back next week. Same number, 888-724-2884. The emails, atg@twit.tv, are always welcome. The Zoom is call.twit.tv, and we will be here for you. I think if these calls, see, the whole reason to get the phone was to get the calls going, and they did.
And it did.
Yeah. And I think if this continues, we might have to make the show a little bit longer. Maybe start a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
We could do that. Because I hate to leave anybody out. So please call next week if you're on the line now. I apologize that we couldn't get to all those calls. We thank our great sponsors. We thank our great team. John Ashley produces this show. Jammer B and Burke are the studio guys. And Lily. Let's not forget Lily. Couldn't do it without them.
Benito at the board.
Benito running he's our technical director, running the board. We thank you all for being here. We do the show every Sunday, round about 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. We wrap it up around this time, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, so we can get ready for This Week in Tech. We've going to have a great show for you next on This Week in Tech, if you're watching live, because we have Harry McCracken in studio, Kathy Gellis in studio. She's an attorney. And we'll be talking about the three big Supreme Court decisions this week, two of which she wrote amicus briefs for.
So wow.
She's really connected, writer for Tech Dirt. It's going to be a great show. I hope you will stay tuned for that. I hope you will tune in again next Sunday. You don't have to watch live if you want to call in, though. It's better to be calling while we're on the air.
Indeed.
Well, but I say that, but you can still call 888-724-2884 during the week and leave a voicemail message.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got voicemails you can leave.
So you can also do that and leave your first name and city and then a 30-second message, and we will, or less, and we'll get you on the air if we can, time permitting. I think we're going to have to expand it now. It's going to have to get bigger. It's fantastic. Micah Sargent hosts a number of shows on the network. Of course, the iOS Today is wonderful with Rosemary Orchard. This week, you're going to start early.
Yeah, tomorrow. We're recording the show tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific time, tomorrow being Monday as opposed to Tuesday. So tune in to watch us live. The show will still publish at its regular time. Yes. Actually, it will publish a Tuesday at 9 a.m. So
that's
as if, you know, we were doing it right then. Yeah. So,
and that's, we're moving them just for the one
just
time
week,
only
just, yeah,
because we're going to be covering the build keynotes at Microsoft's developer conference. We hear there's going to be a lot to say. We know there's going to be a lot to say about AI, but there may even be more than that. So Micah will not be on at 9 o'clock on Tuesday. I will be with Rich Campbell, and we'll be covering the Microsoft build keynote 9 a.m. Tuesday and 9 a.m. Wednesday. Paul Thurrott and Rich will join us on Wednesday for those keynotes. What else is there to say? If you want to subscribe to this show, you just go to techguylabs.com. That's the show page. That's where the show notes live. These same old pages always. That's where the show notes will live. You'll also see buttons there for the YouTube channel, which you can subscribe to. And I don't know, what is it? Ring the bells, hit the chime, do the thing. And you can subscribe to that. You could download shows from the website, twit.tv/ATG, or again, Tech Guy Labs. Best thing to do is find a podcast client and subscribe. That way you get it automatically. You don't even have to think about it. You just have the show the minute it is available.
And consider becoming a member of Club Twit.
Oh, I didn't even mention Club Twit.
Twit.tv/Club Twit is where you go to sign up, starting at $7 a month, $84 a year. You can join the club. When you do, you get lots of great stuff. First, you get access to the members-only Discord server, which is a fun place to go to chat with your fellow Club Twit members and also those of us here at Twit. You get every single Twit show with no ads. It's
no
just
ads.
The content.
No trackers.
You
Nothing.
Are, yeah, no trackers. You are, in effect, sponsoring the shows. So you get these great shows. You get this warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart knowing that you are helping keep this thing rolling along. And you also gain access to the Twit Plus bonus feed that has extra stuff you won't find anywhere else. And if you thought, oh, that seems like a lot of great stuff, well, it keeps going from there because you also are going to get access to some Club Twit exclusive shows. There's the Untitled Linux Show, which is, as you might imagine, a show all about Linux. You get access to Paul Thurrott's Hands on Windows program, a short format show that covers Windows tips and tricks. My Hands on Mac program that's all about Apple tips and tricks. And the newly relaunched Scott Wilkinson's Home Theater Geeks, which is also available.
Micah, that all sounds really great. How much does that cost?
That starts at $7 a month. You can choose if you'd like to offer more support, but starts at $7 a month, $84 a year, and we'd love it if you joined.
And where do I go to sign up today?
twit.tv/clubtwit.
We love our club members. Thank you, for joining us. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on Ask the Tech Guys. Have a great Geek Week.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm Rod Pyle, editor-in-chief of Ad Astra Magazine, and each week I join with my co-host to bring you This Week in Space, the latest and greatest news from the final frontier. We talk to NASA chiefs, space scientists, engineers, educators, and artists, and sometimes we just shoot the breeze over what's hot and what's not in space books and TV. And we do it all for you, our fellow true believers. So whether you're an armchair adventurer or waiting for your turn to grab a slot in Elon's Mars rocket, join us on This Week in Space and be part of the greatest adventure of all time.